and welcome to, I guess I can actually call this an RFN versus stuff we've been doing earlier this week. This is the post E3 announcements reaction show, and I'm James Jones, and I'm joined by longtime friend and former colleague, Mr. Greg Leahy.
Hello there, good to be with you again.
It's good to have you. I appreciate you making some time to talk about
this. The fact that I'm talking to you means you're not there, which I'm not exactly sure how you feel about that.
I'm not exactly sure how I feel about that either. I definitely feel different about it than I did 24 hours ago. But this is your time. We both watched in the last 12 hours, about the last 7 hours, Nintendo's digital event, as they are calling it, for
That's
the
E3
right. 2015. The E3. And, yeah, I mean, just right off, Greg, how do you feel about it? What was your
well,
your
I
thoughts?
Guess I mean the obvious frame of comparison is just is last year, not just because it's last year, but it's the only other time they did this whole digital event thing.
Did they do it 2013?
They've been going this way for a while, but this was 2014 was the first time that they just went straight up. You know, dedicated broadcast that was sort of differentiated from a normal direct by calling it a digital event and a bit more kind of production going into it and all that. And, you know, comparing it to that, I think definitely lacked the impact that one had. And some of that, I think, is a bit of chickens coming home to roost, if you know what I mean. It's some of the choices that they made in terms of how they presented things, the things they chose to show or talk about, in both in the video and just in the show generally, kind of seem to have hamstrung them this year in terms of making some really kind of impactful announcements. I mean, a chief among them is what happened with Star Fox leading off the show, which I find an incredibly exciting prospect, especially, you know, I've played a couple of Platinum games now. I played, three actually, because I played both Bayonettas when they came out on Wii U, and Wonderful 101, and I enjoyed them all thoroughly, so I've got plenty of confidence in Platinum, though it is a different style of game, of course, from their usual kind of character action combat thing. But, you know, I've got plenty of confidence in them, and it looks very nice, and it looks like it's fusing all sorts of different concepts from, you know, Star Fox titles past, and even the unreleased Star Fox 2, and it looks great. It's really exciting that it's coming out this year, all that, but it lacks the impact that it might have had because we knew it was coming and they showed this little tiny bit of it last year, even though it was only at the basis sort of tech demo kind of stage, and they hadn't even apparently signed Platinum to develop the game at that point. So it to me, you know, that was the problem, is that because they've been in this situation where they're scrambling around to try and, you know, give people reasons to think positively about the Wii U or put positive buzz out there in social media or whatever. You know, last year they went with stuff like, you know, Zelda, which they couldn't even show this year.
Yes.
You know, they couldn't even show more of it this year. They went with stuff like Mario Maker, which is still, you know, months away, and at that time it was just like two different palette kinds, whereas now they've got, you know, more different art styles, you see a lot more of it, it looks a lot more cool now than it did a year ago, but it sort of perversely almost makes less impact now because you have already seen some of it, it's a known quantity. And I think that really is what struck me. I mean, something like Yoshi's Woolly World, I'm really, really looking forward to that. As long-time listeners would expect, you know, good feel platformer, Yoshi, the aesthetic, everything. It just looks like it's going to be terrific fun. However, I will be playing that game next week. So, you know, and it's a game that we first heard about from Nintendo, I think about 2.5 years ago, nearly.
Something like that, yeah.
So they're kind of paying for the fact that they've got all these games that you know, they've shown way ahead of time when there's just a tiny little sliver of them, and then there's a kind of fatigue about it when you see them again and again and again. And I mean, obviously it's not so dissimilar with Xenoblade as well, you know, that's already out in Japan. I mean, again, it's a very exciting prospect. You know, it could be I think it was a natural choice to fit in at the end of the year with Zelda not being able to make it. You know, something really beefy like that, you know, a different kind of game from Zelda, of course, but you have exploration, you have, you know, a long quest and all that kind of stuff, so it has some of the delivers on some of the same levels. But again, it doesn't make that kind of really big impact on people, those sort of wow moments that you've had in previous sort of conferences that have gone down well, because it's just been shown again and again and again. And even, you know, I mean, you could see as much of the game as you like out there at this point, because people have played it for many, many hours on the Japanese version. So, yeah, I just, you know, they couldn't see, especially because they're putting off the NX stuff, they're putting off the quality of life stuff, however relevant that might be, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, you don't want to focus too much on other platforms at this point. But, you know, as a result, what they've got is just a lot of things that are already well travelled, and a handful of things that were, you know, outside of that, that didn't really sort of make up for it. I think if you go back to, obviously, when things were going well with Nintendo, when the sales were going well, you'd get stuff like, oh, you had no idea DKC was coming back, here's Retro doing DKC Returns. Epic Yarn out of nowhere, bang, there it is. Whereas, right, you know, Woolly World, 2.5 years. You know, this is just the reality of the struggles they've been in, where they're kind of having to deviate from that policy that they built up of, like, let's hold it until it's ready to show, and it looks, you know, as almost as good as it's going to look, and that way it will make maximum impact, because, you know, people are kind of surprised by its existence, then they're kind of surprised that it's coming out not that far along, you know, and it looks really good. So those things, they've split those things up now, the way things have gone, and that I think is probably the biggest problem. The other part of it is, like, what they did have that was off the map, the in the realms of the unknown, they were not the most impactful, because I think some of them seemed like, they might seem like, obviously the proof will be in the pudding in terms of people playing them at E3 and then the final product, but they might seem like games that are there to kind of get a release out of a certain kind of brand. Something shift a few units in that arena, rather than the main course, the real deal in that. So you have the multiplayer Zelda game, you have a Mario Tennis game, you have the Metroid Prime Federation Force thing, and Animal Crossing, in fact, which is something we've not really seen before, sort of Animal Crossing being kind of leveraged like that, so spin-offs of Animal Crossing into areas that it, you know, Animal Crossing games have obviously been tremendously successful, so it's not surprising that they'd like to do more with that brand. But, you know, so far, you know, some people might say to the series' detriment, the games have all been, you know, very much the same kind of game, just on a new piece of hardware and some new features. So this is new, a little surprising, that they're kind of going into an amiibo board game and this amiibo decorating thing on the 3DS, although we already knew about that, so the Animal Crossing sort of straddles both parts of that problem, you know, the things we already knew about and then the new things not being overwhelming at all. And then there was the leaks sort of part of it. Well, we already knew about Hyrule Warriors on 3DS, and even with Animal Crossing we knew something was coming, because there was a picture that I think Nintendo of Europe or UK sort of leaked the amiibo ahead of time, so it's kind of like, okay, well, not just the cards but the actual figures of characters like KK Slider and all that. So there was just a lot of things that we knew about ahead of time, and there was no big knockout punch to kind of push it over the edge.
Yeah, and I would imagine that, so the stuff that they actually shown that under normal circumstances might have pushed us, something like Star Fox, well, I mean, they were very vague talking about that game last year.
Extremely.
They didn't talk about it.
They did. We knew it was coming. We've had the hints, you know, about, obviously, in Bayonetta 2, there are Star Fox references, so the fact that Platinum are doing it, it's not some great rug puller. I'm glad it's happening. I have confidence in them, but it's not going to cause many people to sort of rejoice, because it's what we expected.
Right, and then, I mean, something like, I want to say Xenoblade Chronicles X is out in Japan. I know it is out in Japan. So that it's weird, because they did this direct format. You know, it is a Nintendo Direct format. You know, it's a video they released, and they cut one for each region, but just for linguistic purposes. So Japan was seeing a lot of stuff that they've already got or will be out, you know, very, very soon, like Fire Emblem.
They didn't go
into nearly the detail on Fire Emblem that Japan's already got in various directs that we didn't get.
Of course, yeah, because I mean that is very shortly coming there, and they're getting Yoshi pretty soon as well, not quite as soon as Europe for whatever reason, but you know it must be sort of similar. Like again, I mean they've already had the videos showing you know what the amiibo do and all that kind
Right.
of stuff, so there is no real new information. So I mean the game I'm looking forward to tremendously. I'm at that point where it's like, well, I'm going to play it next week. I could do without seeing more video of it, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, even stuff that potentially we may have walked away from going, wow, you get stuff like, you know, Shin Megami Tensei, Cross Fire Emblem, whatever they're calling it now. That was announced 2 years ago. And then some, like January.
But I mean, that was one that went 13. Absolutely stone cold dark for a long
and
time.
Then they
but
brought it back.
It's already resurfaced recently. Yeah. So again, the whatever impact that might have made was diminished. I felt. And you know, and again, we had the micro direct that talked about stuff like Chibi Robo. You know, and the Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, which I'm sure you're terribly excited about, James.
Twitter.
Yeah, they were because of the way they do things now, which is a lot more staggered than it used to be. You know, as well. Like, I think if you look at the totality of things, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. You know, I mean, they had the Earthbound thing, which was pretty surprising. Just up here it is in the middle of the
and
the
it's
world
the bad one.
The World Championships. It's the first one. It's something they've sat on for years, and it also makes me sad because it's like for a moment I think to myself, oh yeah, that means that Star Fox 2 could happen, because right. that's much the same sort of thing, a game that was just done but they sat on it for kind of release reasons, you know, kind of managing the channel of games and you know what systems they wanted to emphasize at a given point, but then you just but there's no FX chip game, so it
right.
still can't happen. Oh. But they were still really cool that they did that, and they've been making a lot of cool little announcements here and there, and it's just that's the problem, I think, when you do that, you know, with the Smash DLC, all this kind of stuff, then when you've got the digital event, it kind of it's well, this has got to do something that you know, kind of justifies its position at the top of the totem pole as the event piece, the centerpiece of the whole thing. And it just didn't quite have that, because it didn't have the stuff that was just totally out of nowhere, you know. And I mean, if you look at the games that were just there was a few different things that I was looking for in terms of, okay, what are the things in the old Rumsfeldian terms, once again, the known unknowns, the things that we feel like we know are happening, but you know, what exactly is it behind the curtain? Retro Studios game was the big one.
Right.
And we got nothing on that. So obviously everybody who's been eagerly sort of anticipating what Retro would do next, arguably, you know, before Tropical Freeze even, because, you know, it's kind of, okay, they've done a sequel to DKC, that's fine, what's the next big thing they're going to do, you know?
Right.
So this been long anticipated what they're going to do. Not that DKC is not a significant game and something I enjoyed a great deal, but it is a sequel to something they'd already done. So it's kind of like, what would they have something different? Or perhaps another Nintendo franchise, perhaps an original IP, something, you know, more distinct. And that, of course, didn't happen. There was nothing there. I thought maybe there was some chance we might see something from EAD Tokyo. Even though, I think, as TYP said on a recent radio trivia, they'd probably be wise not to at this point, perhaps to just hold it over, whatever they're doing, over for the NX or whatever, so that they can actually launch the platform with something really, you know, substantial and special feeling, rather than some of the things that they've launched platforms, you know, 3DS, Wii U, the launches were a bit tepid because they didn't have that kind of big game. But I thought there was a chance, because they've been on a kind of a 2-year cycle, you know, obviously Captain Toad messes with that, but that is kind of a spin-off game of existing part of 3D World. But you know, if you go back to Galaxy in 2007, Galaxy 2 was done by the end of 2009. They just didn't release it because of the clash with New Super Mario Bros. Wii. You then had 3D Land in 2011 and 3D World in 2013. So 2015, not out of the question, but no, we didn't see anything there. And then also there was the next level games question, which was, for me, as a fan of the Mario Strikers games, of Punch-Out that they did on Wii, and quite like Luigi's Mansion 2 as well, Yeah, I was wondering what they were up to. We knew they were up to something, and then it turns out it was this Metroid Prime Federation Force thing, which you kind of called it yesterday with the how sort of conspicuous the HUD elements were on Blast Ball, and so it proved to be.
It was so clearly Metroid Prime HUD that it was, if it wasn't a Metroid Prime game, Nintendo might have to sue Next Level for a game they themselves are publishing.
Well, or the only other thing I could think of, which you kind of touched on, yes, it was maybe like NST were making it, who did Prime Hunters, and it was just like they just kept that kind of look from when they were doing Prime Hunters, but no, very much not the case. This is what they're doing. The foreseen Metroid-based squad shooter without Samus in it, and yeah,
what we
I
all
mean,
predicted.
That's a hard one to call. I mean, from the Blast Ball part of it, I've got a lot of confidence in, because I mean, Mario Strikers, he's really good. Like they can do that. I know it's first person, it's quite different, but I think they could do that kind of game pretty well. The squad-based shooter kind of thing, I don't know. It's not necessarily my most sort of natural kind of genre affinity, but I mean, it could be very good. I think there's a problem here. You compare this with Splatoon last year. No one was expecting Splatoon. That was something, you know, totally out of the blue. But I think that got a much warmer reception because it wasn't an existing IP. They didn't slap anything else on top of it. And of course the concept seemed interesting, and you know, people got to play it and they thought there was something there. And you know, it's been received well now that it's come out. I think the problem, that this is some of the thing with putting a franchise on top of something, is that you know, obviously it can be good for sales, good for name recognition, all that kind of stuff, but it does have baggage as well. And especially, you know, if you go back to, this is not the first time that Nintendo's done Metroid spin-offs. We had Prime Pinball, and Prime Hunters is kind of a spin-off as well, but that was in a period of time that was very sort of plentiful for the franchise. So it's like, well, it's not taking away from anything else, is it? Because we're having, you know, Zero Mission had recently come out, Prime 2 had recently come out, Prime 3 was going to be coming out sometime later. When you've had this sort of fallow period for Metroid, and then this emerges, it's bound to, you know, rightly or wrongly, the sort of rationality doesn't necessarily come into it, attract a certain amount of sort of enmity, really. It's just like, well, yeah, just this is what you did with it, you know.
Dislike.
Which I don't think, you know, it necessarily merits that. I have no idea about what the game is. It might be a perfectly good game on its own merits, but it's just, you know, that you know if you make that decision to put that name on it, then I guess you've got to live with the consequences. I mean, the one thing I will say is stuff like Prime Hunters and Pinball, though they were quite different from Metroid, you know, quote-unquote proper Metroid games, they maintained, you know, a lot of, you know, tonal and sort of stylistic and artistic similarities. You know, the Metroid atmosphere was not sort of forsaken, whereas, you know, this case, just straight away you look at the sort of big deformed kind of proportions of the characters and everything, it just doesn't look vaguely like it really does sort of nestle into the Metroid universe at all. So when you're doing a poorer job of that than a pinball game did, it's not necessarily the most sort of auspicious start. But the game itself may be perfectly good. I think we shouldn't burden it too much just with the expectations and the preconceptions that come with the name.
Yeah, I'm quite interested to see what that game is. You know, is it more than just an arena shooter? Is it more than just, you know, monster room after monster room, and you and three friends walk around and shoot stuff? Is there a narrative there? Can I play it as a single player and get a complete experience? Is there, you know, are they attempting, not to imply that it's either of these games, but are they attempting Left 4 Dead, which is you know, just rooms with stuff you kill in a group, or are they trying, you know, Star Wars Republic Commando? A game that borrows quite heavily from the Metroid Prime games. Like, if that's where they're going with it, and you could play it multiplayer, you could play it single player, like, you know, you could capture all that atmospheric stuff in a way that makes sense for that franchise. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen so little of it, and I suspect the E3 demo we're going to get is going to be quite I mean, I haven't read any impressions yet, but I'd imagine it's quite restrained. It's probably open space shooting, like we see in the video, and probably blast ball.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that it's sort of packaged in with blast ball sort of makes it seem quite... You know, it makes it seem like a certain kind of game, but that is just an outside perception. We'll have to see what the substance of the game contains. But, I mean, I would say, you know, just... When it's with Nintendo has done all sorts of spin-offs of all of their various games, but the Metroid is a little more treacherous doing it because you know it hasn't got like a big follow. You know, it's a little bit more like it, obviously it's got a bigger following, but it's a little bit more like the Earthbound thing of a smaller group of but really rabid fans, and they're probably easier to alienate because Metroid Other M kind of went into that a little bit, with some of the narrative decisions and gameplay decisions, all that kind of stuff, and that obviously was a lot more like a Metroid game than this is. But that was one game that was kind of out of the blue, and you're kind of skeptical about it, and it's just difficult to see compared to Splatoon again, like comparing this year to last year. I think Splatoon, even though we didn't see very much of it, I mean it was very little last year. It was like one map, one weapon set or something. You know, it was really kind of limited what they showed, and they just hadn't developed much of it yet. But I think conceptually you kind of got it straight away, like, okay, this is what they're trying to do with an online shooter. It's colorful, it's not just about killing people, it's about territory. You know, it's a Nintendo kind of spin on that kind of genre. You got that straight away, and even though obviously in the intervening year the game has been developed a lot more, we've learned a lot more things about it, that is still the central hook of the game. That I think that's what people like about it, we've responded well to it. That's something like that is not as immediately apparent from this Metro Prime Federation Force game. Like, what is the hook that it's bringing to this genre? But like I said, I like a lot of what Next Level Games have done for Nintendo in the past, so I do have some level of confidence in it from that point of view. They're not above making some poor games. They've made some really bad licensed games to pay the bills, but you know, that's just, I suppose, the life of a developer these days. You know, oftentimes,
yeah. Is it so? Of that whole presentation, that is there a risk? I know I was going to jump to the what excites you most, but actually I'm kind of contemplating this myself. Is there a risk that Nintendo has gotten a little too insular in some of these ways? Like, that presentation was bananas, and not like in the tongue in cheek kind of way last year's was, like. It was really properly the work of a lunatic.
Well, you know, I mean, look, there's plenty of kind of insular humor last year. You know, you got your Earthbound gags or Mother 3 or whatever. You know, there was a gag about that with the robot chicken stuff last year. You know, this year you've got the puppets and, you know, the Iwata holding the bananas meme and all. I mean, yeah, it's very, self-referential, very much like, you know, Nintendo has got this little clique of fans that it talks to and itself, you know. It did feel like that a bit, and I suppose that's only natural considering, you know, they don't have the biggest install base at the moment for Wii U especially. But you know, yeah, is there a danger that they could get too kind of introspective almost, or just talking to themselves? But I think they've got other means to kind of reach people farther out, haven't they? You know, like this is, I think part of them not actually doing a stage show and all that is like, okay, we're gonna reach people in a bunch of different ways, and this is one way, and it's, you know, kind of taking the place of the traditional stage show format that people are still doing at E3, obviously. But they with their various, you know, avenues on social media and all that kind of stuff, they'll try, I think they have their ways of reaching out to people. I mean, if you look at the way that they've done that, Splatoon seems to have done quite well.
Yes.
Despite quite a few disadvantages when you think of the fact that the Wii U is not a hugely popular console, it doesn't have a pre-existing brand behind it or anything like that. I think they can reach out if they've got something that kind of helps them do it. So I'm not too worried about that part of it.
Yeah, I just wonder if something like this, where they don't really come in, they had more room to be dumb last year because they had Smash Brothers more than anything else.
True, yeah, I mean that always helps when you got something that enormous.
And they knew they didn't have it this year.
No, so, and they already prepared us for the fact they weren't going to have Zelda in a more substantial form either. So they obviously knew there was some need to kind of massage expectations, otherwise they wouldn't have been so upfront about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the whole thing felt very odd to me. Like, just it felt off, and I'm not entirely even, when they rolled out as puppets, and I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be one of the bad ones, isn't it?
I don't know. I quite like the puppets.
Like the puppets.
I thought it was a really elegant way of sort of getting around the fact that, you know, I don't know whether Iwata, you know, has been sort of ducking away from the Nintendo Directs lately, you know, because there was a recent Direct in Japan that was hosted by someone else, wasn't there?
Yes, yes.
You know, and all that kind of, I don't know how much it's connected to his health or whatever it is, but it felt like a very sort of playful and elegant way of ducking that issue. Well, he is there. We're just all puppets.
Yeah,
I thought Miyamoto's puppet looked too much like Sakurai.
A little bit.
The hair wasn't grey enough. It looked like some sort of fly machine love child Miyamoto Sakurai thing.
I was kind of hopeful that when they went to go get him and he wasn't in his room right away, that they were just going to have the actual Miyamoto there, proper Muppet style, and just not say anything about it, because I feel like that would have been the right play. But I don't know, it felt disconnected in a way. Like, it was goofy, and I enjoyed that, but maybe it was that they didn't stick with it. It was that they kept flipping to that weird, you know, Super Mario Maker interstitial stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. And so, some parts of it kind of felt like, you know, they very minimal connective tissue, like, oh, just there's Puppet Iwata looking at the bananas and next trailer. And also, I think it was a little bit of a flop where they sort of attempt to kind of weave a unifying narrative of transformation. I see where they go in terms of, like, well, Yoshi transforms in Yoshi's Woolly World, and, you know, Star Fox, you have the transforming R-Wig that looks really cool and all this, but it's not, you know, it doesn't really work as a way of, and of course the transforming Amiibo / Skylanders when you switch the base or whatever, but it didn't really work as an attempt to kind of, oh yes, it's all of a piece. You know, that was a bit of a damp squib.
Yeah. Sorry. What out of this whole thing did you find? Like, what was most arresting to you of the presentation? And it could be something that we already knew was there.
Yeah, it's Star Fox. To see it, you know, to see what they're doing with it is very exciting. It's been so long since we've had an original Star Fox game. You know, going back to the DS game, and then to Assault, if you're talking about a console game that was original. It's just exciting to see them lead off a press conference with a Star Fox game, and to see what they're doing with it. And it looks really good. It looks really kind of interesting what they're doing with all these, you know, got these different vehicle types. Even the Landmaster can kind of transform as well. You've got that gyrocoptery thing, whatever that is. You know, I mean, there's lots of things there that just make me think it's really promising. But conceptually, just Star Fox leading it off is brilliant. I love that. And the fact that, you know, we knew that it was going to be there, I don't think should really take away from how joyous it is that Star Fox is going to be, like, their big game this year for me. I mean, it probably, like, bomb really hard. But yeah, I will
it's
love
probably gonna be a disaster.
I will love every minute of it.
It might clear 100,000 copies. Like, it's,
I mean, Platinum Games are the games for the company which obviously have not had the benefit of a Nintendo IP behind them, have not exactly sold that well, but they're really good.
Really good games.
You know, I love the way that they're, you know, this is so doomed, but it would be a gloriously doomed voyage.
Are you surprised that they didn't put that, you know, that they say we're really focusing on making sure the single player experience is tight? Are you surprised there's not a multiplayer component here?
No, not especially. I mean, yes, they've had multiplayer in Star Fox games going back a long time there, obviously, with 64. It was in 2 as well, wasn't
yes.
it? When that got canned. It had online multiplayer in DS, the Command game, believe it or not, before that was not allowed in the 64 3D remake. They actually let that happen in Star Fox Command. I thought it could happen, but on the other hand, I didn't think it would be their focus. You know, it would just be... I mean, it's kind of like with Bayonetta 2, that has an online multiplayer mode, but it's not the focus of the game. It's not a huge thing. So I thought it was possible, but not something that would be a huge priority. And as we've seen with Nintendo, if something's not a big priority, they're not afraid to just kind of discard it altogether rather than kind of half-ass it. Personally, I'm not particularly broken up about that at all. I think if they can get the single player right, that will be plenty for me. Now, other people have a different view about this sort of game, that it's not enough to hold their, you know, there's not enough to be worth $50 or $60 or whatever it's going to be, because it's just kind of, you play it through, doesn't take that long, and then you're done with it, you don't go back to it. I love Sin and Punishment, I love Star Fox 64, I love going back and playing the levels again and getting better scores and all that. That's I have no issue with that. So if they're focusing on making the single player really good and something you can go back to and get more out of on the replay, I mean, they've already talked about going back and replaying areas with different vehicles and stuff like that, I'm pretty sanguine about that prospect. I think that's going to be good. One interesting thing I've noticed, so for something about that, it won't have as much branching as previous Star Fox games have had. Which suggests, I mean, because branching was always one way of kind of spreading the content out a bit. Because, you know, rather than play the levels in one big string, it's like, well, you'd have to play them over and over again to find the secrets, to find the other levels. And
right.
It was kind of a way of spreading the substance of the game out over a longer time, even though it's in this arcade-style format where any given playthrough is not going to take that long. So I don't know whether that suggests that, well, they feel like they're going to have enough with all these different play styles that they don't have to do that anymore. They've got, we can put it in more of a straight line and it will still feel like it's got enough substance to sustain that. But on the other hand, I might be sad to see that kind of go a bit. You know, it was something I did like a lot in Star Fox 64. So we'll see about that. I mean, less does not necessarily mean like it's, you know, insignificant or trivial. So
right.
We'll see. But interesting, I thought. One of the more interesting tidbits has come out of the Treehouse Live stuff that I've seen so far, which is not that much.
I was actually surprised they mentioned that, to be honest. Like, to what end, essentially, did they feel, well, we're not going to do quite as much of that as we did in previous games?
I'm glad that these Treehouse Live things are
sure.
not just, you know, them spouting the PR approved talking book. I mean, that is the one thing about it. I mean, it's a little kind of, I don't want to say creepy, that's way too far, but yeah, the Treehouse Live stuff is really nice in a lot of ways, but on the other hand, it's kind of a little unsettling to me that it's like, yeah, let's just cut the people that are actually there to cover the games out.
Hey, we can watch.
We've got people there at the Nintendo World Report, you know, all these different outlets have got people there to play the games and relay their impressions to us. You know, it feels a bit kind of control freaky to, you know, like, let's edge those people with their opinions out. You know,
yeah,
it's a little bit uncomfortable. But when you get stuff like that, where the developers might, God forbid, actually say something kind of a bit candid and a bit honest about that, that gives you some sort of insight into it that you probably wouldn't get from somebody just playing a demo with a PR person telling them, oh, you could do this and you could do this and make sure you do that and all that. That for me kind of justifies its existence and allays the kind of the unsettling part of it.
That's true, because the PR person doesn't actually know any information they can leak. Because
it's need to know basis. Yeah. That's the point. You're not going to get anything juicy out of them. Whereas if the developers are just there, and you know, I mean, obviously a lot of the times you talk about interpreters, so there's still gatekeepers there. But you do get some stuff that feels a little bit more like, yeah, you know, this information is reaching me because of this format, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So you know, it has its, you know, its dark side, but you know, that kind of stuff's good, and I hope obviously they seem like they're going even more kind of all in on that strategy this year than last year, and I hope you know, obviously this is just sort of day zero or whatever of the show. I hope there's going to be quite a lot more kind of interesting things to be insight that we could glean over the course of the show.
Yeah. So one more thing before we wrap it up. We had this conversation as a staff while the home team was responding to the news coming in and press kits and all that awesome stuff that comes with being on the E3 home team. Do you think if they had rearranged the way that show was presented, and focused maybe more on showing, you know, gameplay versus developer interviews, that the whole thing may have come off a little bit?
Well, again, that's kind of like, I mean, yeah, the Treehouse Live is going to show off a lot of the gameplay, isn't it? So, you know, that's how they think about it. You know, they're going to give you kind of the flyby with the digital event.
Right.
And then, you know, you're going to drill down more into it later. Now, like, that strategy kind of has its downsides from the point of view that maybe if people only watch the digital event...
Right.
They don't necessarily get the full force of, this looks really cool, you know, if it's Star Fox or if it's Mario Maker or things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it has its downsides, but I mean, I think it comes to this sort of the insularity point in that I think they feel like, you know, they have this audience that is going to stick with them with their various avenues over the course of the show, and that, you know, it's going to be... You know, an event that go rather than just, hey, we come out, we do a press conference, we dump it all out there, see you next year. You know, it's not just throughout the course of the show, but throughout the course of the year with directs and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's all a lot more gradual and kind of drip feed kind of strategy these days. And you know, I think it's just part and parcel of that. And so I think it's got downsides, but you know, I understand that they're thinking with it. Maybe there's a better balance to be struck somewhere, you know, in the future, especially when you're dealing with games that are not just like the conceptually like shocking or novel the way that you had some last year with Splatoon. And obviously, I mean, Codename Steam was not in the presentation last year. That was at a roundtable event. As far as we know, there is no possibility of such a thing happening again, is there?
No, it is my understanding that there are no... At least as of last week, there were no roundtables scheduled. And we usually know about them, you know, a week or two in advance.
And that was a long-standing sort of fixture of E3, wasn't it? You know, so again, it's reflective of this sort of change that they're making to the way they're handling it, getting more and more kind of control over the way they're putting things out and being more concerned with people at home rather than the actual people on the floor and on site and all that kind of stuff. So that, whatever the wisdom of it, that is what they're doing. But I mean, I think, you know, some of the things that were like completely out of the blue, you know, the Zelda game, for instance, the Triforce Heroes, is an interesting one, because I like all the cool kids recently played through the GameCube Four Swords. However many years late. When did that come out? I forget. You know, and I actually quite enjoyed that as a one-player game. Because naturally, I was not playing that with friends with a bunch of GBAs on a Japanese Wii in 2015. I was playing it by myself. But it was still really quite fun. And now this is going to be a bit different, isn't it? Because it's, you know, they're saying it's not going to have that competitive angle so much. But... I think that could be cool. It kind of reminds me of that Lara Croft Guardian of Light sequel. Didn't that have multiplayer?
That's right. Yes,
it's kind of like the Zelda take on that. It looks interesting, and it's got online play, and it's got silly little emoticons of Link using pom-poms.
Yes.
Which presumably means no voice chat. Or at least that is
tune all over again.
In lieu of voice chat. It'd be interesting, though, because in that case, it's almost part of the puzzle design, isn't it? It's like, well, you can't talk to each other.
Right.
So how else could you do it? You know, I mean, Splatoon is a little different.
It's a little bit more anything goes.
But Mario Tennis is not going to get a lot of people excited, but I am firmly in the tank for Camelot Mario games.
There you go.
I actually really like the 3DS one, even though it was very content light. I think in terms of the gameplay, it did a good job of stripping out some of the fat, the fluff that was in Power Tennis on the GameCube. It does look like some of that might be coming back with this Wii U one, so I'm a little concerned, but that kind of game's more naturally suited to a console, so I'm glad that they're doing it. That could be a nice little a new multiplayer game if I can ever be weaned off Smash Brothers, which certainly the probability diminishes with all this more DLC and everything. Yeah. And then lastly, the Mario & Luigi Paper Mario mashup.
Yeah, probably that's weird.
The least likely matchup ever, because they're just too damn close in the first place.
That's so weird.
That is very odd. I'm a big fan of some of the Mario & Luigi games, Bowser's Inside Story in particular. Dream Team was a bit too close to Bowser's Inside Story. It was kind of like, okay, let's do it again, but themed around Luigi, and it wasn't quite as funny, and it went on a bit too long. So I guess what I'm really looking to see here is, okay, so bring Paper Mario into it. I guess it's not just going to be like those two, you know, Bowser and Luigi games. It's going to be somewhat different, but how substantively different is
it going
to be?
So we do know it's got kind of the rhythm style combat that you see in real Paper Mario games versus that thing they put out on 3DS.
Sticker Star had quite a different style.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because regular Paper Mario games are a lot closer to Mario & Luigi games in that way, aren't they? You know, with the time button presses and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be a surprise if they kind of went against both of those. The great majority.
We're going back
of
to Sticker Star.
Yeah, that would have been a surprise. But I guess Sticker Star. I did not play it. It didn't seem to go down that well.
No.
Dream Team didn't go down as well as previous Mario & Luigi games either, so it's kind of interesting to see them coming together. That's something you would never have predicted.
Our running joke in the meeting room as we were going through that announcement was somebody must have told them when they said make a new Mario RPG and they asked which one, and Iwata yelled both. And then they came back with the designs and he went, all right, fine, just put it out there, I don't care.
As long as Gino's not in it.
There you go. That's right. We can't have this.
That was pretty interesting, but I think it's one of these things. For me, like I said, the presentation was not terribly exciting, but the actual prospect of this year's games, over the next 6 months or so is really quite exciting for me, because it just happens to tick a lot. You know, Yoshi is probably more exciting to me than the average person. Mario Maker, I think, Super Mario Maker, as it's now called, looks really, really interesting. Just the fact that you're going to be able to play, that, you know, it is going to, even probably with the levels that are provided, I think the fact that it's this all user-generated content that is going to change the level design paradigm. You're going to see kinds of levels that you just would not get in a traditional game where you've got a difficulty curve and all that kind of stuff. You know, what we've seen a lot of is like Rube Goldberg-y kind of stuff, you know, like,
right.
Which is, it's fun to look at, so it kind of works well in demoing and the World Championships or whatever. Playing it, I'm not as convinced by.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was mostly just laughing at the misfortune of the poor players up there who he thinks he's dodged this giant spike ball only to have it bounce off the wall behind him. He dodges it again only to find that it caused things to drop from the ceiling and kill him.
Yeah, I mean, look, that has its place. I mean, I like that part of it myself, but in terms of the direct satisfaction of playing the levels, you know, I trust that there will still be kind of other ways in which you're getting kind of different kinds of level designs than you would find in, you know, another new Super Mario Brothers game, that aren't just kind of sadistic or tragicomic in nature. But no, I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited about Xenoblade and Star Fox both at the end of the year. I mean, you've got kind of the two complete opposite ends of the spectrum of experience. You've got Star Fox, you know, an intense kind of experience that's more, you know, kind of short form, but you go back to it, and then you've got the huge extensive form experience of Xenoblade. I think really nice compliments to each other. So that's I think the rest of the year could be really, really good. Somehow this presentation doesn't necessarily leave people feeling that. Some of that's because they're not me. You know, I am relentlessly positive. And some of it's just, you know, what you tune into these things a lot of the time is for the shiny new thing, and it just didn't have that much of that because, you know, the shiny new thing, other than Zelda, although, well, this could be, you know, sort of related, is the next platform, because obviously the way the Wii U's going, you know, it's not something they're going to ride into the bitter end, really. I mean, they've launched all the big guns. It's probably, you know, getting close to kind of saturation, and it's time to move on.
Cool, Greg. I think that's going to do it for us.
Pleasure talking with you again, James.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and I hope to have you on again soon.
Oh, you know, maybe next year, unless you actually go next year.
Well, potentially. And yeah, now up next we're gonna have John Lindemann, who will be less ruthlessly positive, as you say, to say the least.
Ruthlessly something.
Ruthlessly upset. I had to talk him down at work today, so be ready for that.
Hold on to your butts.
And we're back. I'm not with Greg anymore. I miss you, Greg. I miss you a lot. Instead, I'm with the bald man himself, Mr. John Lindemann.
Indeed you are, James.
Indeed I am. Indeed I am? Is that... Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get going so I can join this drinking party.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so attend a digital event. John, I mean, I know how you feel about it. We were talking during the event.
I'm extremely pleased.
All right, cool. That's good. That's it for this podcast.
And break.
if you cut it right there, I would just leave it. I'd be like, we're done.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Was it?
It most certainly was. Xenoblade looks cool.
It does. And I want to say that I've talked about this a little bit, and I'll just lay it out there for you. The reason I didn't play that game more in the demo, the reason I didn't feature it more on the trailer, is that it's already out in Japan. It's been out for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's just the unfortunate timing of them saying, we're going to do this direct about the next 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty Mario heavy. And if you like spin-off games, it was definitely for you.
Yep. So we have Happy Home Wrecker.
The Animal Crossing Mario Party mashup, right?
Yep. We have two distinct Zelda games. I guess those aren't spin-offs, though. They're just... Well, Hyrule Warriors is. The other one is it's a Zelda game. It's Three Swords Adventure.
Yep.
Instead of Four Swords Adventure. But yep. I don't think that's a spin-off. Do you think it is? I mean,
it's its own series, and the series itself is a spin-off series, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. I mean, it has Zelda gameplay.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a Zelda game.
It's less of a spin-off than Happy Homemaker.
Yeah, and it has online multiplayer, so that's good. That's good stuff. That's good.
Yeah, and
that's
good. And it's more cooperative than Four Swords, which is possibly good. Yeah, I mean, there's something to like there.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. And then we had the Metroid game, which I'm guessing you might not be so thrilled about.
I am. I when I saw that, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I said,
"You and the rest of the internet."
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, the disappointment. Obviously, my opinion of that game is colored by the extremely bitter disappointment of not having a Metroid, not necessarily a Metroid Prime sequel, but something of the 3D ilk in that series. So.
Right. It's been 5 years since we got a Metroid, and that was Other End.
Yeah, and especially just kind of like the look of the game, and, you know, it reminds me of Metroid Prime Hunters, and just that whole thing, I was just like, just not what I wanted. Not what I was looking for at all.
No. So, and to the point about these spinoffs, I can't remember if I've spoken about this with you yet, but Miyamoto did an interview, came out today, that Nintendo, in part in reaction to things like the Metroid fan base, where they're just like, hey, we've had a long time without a game. What's the problem? What's the holdup?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do that anymore. And part of, but they also recognize that it's not realistic for them to be able to generate, you know, core entries into every franchise, so you don't have to go 3 years without a game in your franchise. So turning to spin-offs made by other houses that they trust based in the world will let you get a game in that universe that you like while they're building you, you know, the core experience that you really enjoy.
So by saying that,
Hyrule Warriors is a bridge title between Skyward Sword and Zelda on Wii U.
So by saying that, are they admitting that Retro Studios is working on a Metroid Prime sequel?
They're not explicitly admitting anything.
Yeah, that's what someone said on Twitter. They said, "Well, this they actually said in the comments, I think, for this article on NintendoWorldReport.com is that this." They were, as far as they were concerned, this pretty much confirms that Retro Studios, since they are not doing this Metroid game, that they are doing a different Metroid game.
Right. And we, I mean, you and I have both heard stuff, you know, that was in the general media and stuff. I don't know how much you've heard, you know, explicitly. I think we've talked about it, but there have been Metroid games made, demoed, and then ultimately
and scrapped.
Shelved.
Yeah.
Because they didn't like how they were feeling. And there's been this persistent rumor going around, and we've had weird sourcing on it, that Next Level was one of the people who made one.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be the remnant of that game. This may be the shell of what they built. Like they said, well, we've already built this engine. Let's do something with it.
Yeah.
But to me, that whole conversation tells us that when we see things like Hyrule Warriors, we see things like, you know, these Animal Crossing spinoffs, when we see stuff like this Metroid Prime Federation Forces.
Yep.
That it's their way to make sure that they don't let a franchise die anymore. They don't let a franchise just completely go away.
Yeah, they keep it out there.
Right. And that's,
I can understand that. I can understand that.
That's important. So I think the internet was incredibly salty about Federation Forces. And part of that's the internet's fault, because somebody at Retro tweeted that, you know, 7 days until the Nintendo Direct, and then looking forward to it. It's like, well, yeah, of course. E3 is like a cool part of the gig. Like, he's looking forward to it because his boss, Nintendo, is throwing a big shindig, and he's going to get to go do all this stuff, even if he doesn't have a game they're showing.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the thing. What this Direct really underscored for me is that Nintendo has really lost sight of being able to create any spectacle around their games. Like, This Direct to me just seemed like, I mean, this Direct would really not have been out of place in, you know, the middle of March.
Sure.
You know?
Let's say,
and I think people want spectacle from E3, and I think there's a big disconnect there when Nintendo isn't giving that to them. So, you know, when they announce Mario Tennis, I'm like, that's cool, but
and it'll probably be good. I mean, it's a Camelot game. It should be good.
Absolutely. I don't really have any beef with any of the games that they showed, but all of those games are like, okay, and
they're also RANs.
And
they're the support titles for your lineup.
Exactly. I mean, they're the kind of things that would have been in the B reel back in the glory days. But now they're the A reel because Nintendo has no third party support, so they have nothing to pad out their lineup. And, you know, they only have so many people to go around to make games.
So let's say that they hadn't – I mean, part of this is the fact that they had to announce all these games super early because of the Wii U's precarious situation. I mean, it's better now. It's undeniably better now than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Definitely
thanks to Smash, thanks to Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And apparently in Japan, thanks to Splatoon.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's like – so they had to announce these games, you know, Fire Emblem, SMT, Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I think some other examples. Even Woolly World. They announced Woolly World last year.
Yeah.
They didn't need to. It wasn't going to be out. Zelda. Zelda's actually a great example. Mm-hmm. Like, they announced Zelda last year. They didn't need to show Zelda last year. They had Smash. They could have let Zelda wait a year. Because if Zelda hadn't been announced last year, I have no doubt they would have shown it this year.
I think it was a mistake not showing anything from that game.
I think it was, but I understand that they don't want to show that game 3 years in a row. They don't want to fall into that trap. And like, I think the mistake was showing it last year. I think that was the year they screwed up because they already had Smash.
Yeah,
they could have. They could have just said, "We don't need to show Zelda. We're gonna blow out Smash."
Yep, that's
and
a good point.
That's how we're gonna handle it. And then this year, they could have shown the same freaking trailer.
Yeah,
they
showed last year, lost their minds.
But they probably could have showed something more further along because that's a year down the road. And they told us. I mean, Miyamoto has said we had a trailer for that game. We decided not to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me that they don't want this to be vaporware. They don't want it to be like, oh, come on, here it is. Here it is again. Go lose a little bit more.
Well,
this time.
You know, when games disappear for 5 or 6 years and then come back, people seem to love them despite the fact
that
they look
like...
Maybe
they should just let Zelda sit for another
few years. Despite the fact that they look like last generation games. Right.
Yeah, like it's...
Last Guardian looking at you.
Well, it can't because it's got cross eyes. It's like if they had... If this is where they had announced Star Fox... Mm-hmm. Like if that was Star Fox's announcement versus last year where they super teased it, which again, I don't think they needed to do that. I don't think they needed to do that weird double tease garbage they pulled last year. This is the first time we saw Star Fox.
Yeah.
And that was how they ended their press conference instead of starting it. I think just that one change, we would have walked away going, okay, it wasn't a great year, but Star Fox is cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like it's a showmanship thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, exactly. I mean, whereas like now it's like you see Star Fox and then kind of everything from there is downhill because you're saying, because I mean, you say naturally, hey, if that's what they showed first, then who knows what's coming?
Muppets were coming.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I mean, yeah, it's like you just, and a whole lot of videos about, you know,
stuff,
shrines in Japan.
Like, I'm okay with the dev diaries. I like them, but
yeah,
you have
fine.
To have the games to support them.
That's exactly it. I mean, this year it felt like filler. It felt like they didn't have anything else, so they're just like, hey, watch somebody ramble on about how they like to sketch animals.
Right. Last
I
year,
I mean, not anyone.
They
obviously, it's Miyamoto, but I mean,
right.
Just...
When they did the devs last year, the dev diaries, they were very, you know, they were still very focused on the game.
Yeah.
Even the Yarn visit was still very focused on the game.
Yep.
Like they talked about the game. They were showing Yarn and stuff. They were trying to be cute about it. The one where I'm still convinced that was the first time Aonuma met the producers of Hyrule Warriors.
yeah, I think so. I think so.
They still talked about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something visually arresting about how those were produced. You know, they went to like an old-style Japanese tea house and sat down and talked about Hyrule Warriors. Like there was something visually interesting about how those were composed, and that was still in play here.
Yeah, and I even like the one where they were just kind of walking around in Nintendo's headquarters, and you get to see all the stuff on the walls and stuff like that. Stuff's neat, you know.
Yeah,
because you never get to see that. I mean, they're as secretive as you can possibly be.
But you can do that, and you could still have the developers talk about their inspirations.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to put some time to the games. And what I was surprised by is just how little gameplay we saw.
Yeah,
but unlike the other conferences, we were seeing trailers,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, pre-rendered trailers. We weren't seeing, as opposed to gameplay, we're seeing gameplay, but we're seeing it in such tiny snippets, super cut together so much that it's hard to get a coherent understanding of what the game is.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they had done Metroid Prime Fusion Fighters, and had done a presentation on it, as opposed to just going as opposed to a Iwata puppet looking at bananas and then cutting the Metroid Prime Fusion Fighters.
Yep.
If they had, you know, if they had couched it in conversation, if they had shown, you know, some, you know, a sole unit of play, like an actual unit of somebody playing the game.
Yeah.
Like, this is the game. Well, this is it being played right now.
I think that's what made it feel like a B-reel. They weren't even providing commentary on any of these games. They were just like, boom, Metroid Prime, you know.
It was gameplay
Federation
out of context.
Force. Yeah, it was completely out of context. And so you're just like, oh, what? What the hell am I looking at? What? And then it just moved on to the next game, and you were like, what? That's the Metroid Prime game? Give me a break. Right. Come on.
So if they had shown that game, you know, the opening footage for that game, the squad is already engaged in combat. They're already shooting at an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
If they had shown from the arrival of the squad to engaging the enemy, they don't have to show the whole gameplay progression, but they had just shown that window, we'd get an understanding of how you move around the game, what the game's structure is, what encounters start as, how the encounters progress, and they can still keep some of the mystery of like how to end the encounter. But we would have gotten a narrative, and that's part of presenting this stuff, and that's what they didn't have. And I think they had enough games here for it to be a competent E3, mm-hmm. you know, a mid-tier Nintendo E3, but
yeah.
either by revealing this stuff early, like showing that SMT Fire Emblem trailer a few months ago. To what end did they show that trailer? Like, what if they had just gone, maintained radio silence on that game and had just played the trailer they played today?
Yeah, I mean, no one really asked to hear about that game.
No, technically speaking, we've been asking about that game for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, people want to see it, but it's not like there was any real advantage
to
showing
it. They
didn't
have to show it then. Right, they could have waited and just blown it out at E3, and we would have gone, holy shit, what was that?
Yeah.
I mean, we still did that, because that trailer is crazy, but it would have been impactful in an additional way.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, when they showed that last trailer, we went, holy shit, what was that? Mm-hmm. It had impact, but it didn't have impact at E3. It had impact during the Nintendo Direct. And there's a certain showmanship. The circus doesn't come to town 7 times a year for a reason.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to see it 7 times a year.
Yep.
And I think Nintendo might need to start considering keeping some games under their belt. You know, blow them out at E3. As is appropriate.
I agree, and that's, I mean, it goes back to kind of my spectacle comment. I mean, they need to realize that, you know, trickling out this info is fine, but they should keep some of it, they should keep some surprises, because people like to be surprised at E3.
Right. And you know? I wonder if that's a lesson they take away from this.
Yeah.
I think part of the problem, and I've mentioned it now a bunch of times in different formats, is that tight focus window of, like, this is stuff that'll basically be before next year's E3, means that Japan is getting stuff they already have. Mm-hmm. Like, they're getting their stuff in that presentation of games they have, or games they will have, like, next week. So for them, this doesn't mean anything. This whole presentation was bogus. And, you know, like, on Nico, like, they're getting slammed right now. Mm-hmm. Because Japan's like, we have this shit. What's your problem? So, like, that led to Iwata going on Nintendo's Twitter account and basically tweeting, "We understand. We will keep this in mind and strive to do better next time."
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe they understand now that before we started, we were making fun of the Sony press conference for all the stuff that is 2017 plus.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's, like, Sony's press conference was all smoke and mirrors. Really, but, it was. Or stuff that's already been announced that they're passing off as interesting.
But does Nintendo need to do some of that just for the
they
purpose
do.
Of the presentation?
I mean, it people eat it up. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you can tell people, hey, this game that you've always you know, wanted, it's coming in 3 years, but it's coming, and people fucking lose their mind. Oh my God, this game is coming in 3 years? Holy shit, did you hear that? Hey, you, over there, this game's coming in 3 years. People lose their fucking minds.
I like the image of you just tackling some dude at his grocery store. Shenmue 3 is coming!
Yeah, I mean, Shenmue 3. Shenmue 3. I mean, after we're done, we'll talk about the other press conferences, because they deserve mention if you want to go into them. We can talk
about
those.
I think you and I can record something at the end of the week that we'll put up there on the RFN.
That's fine, because I mean, those press conferences were
there was some brutality.
Yeah, there was
everybody did something where I go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Like I'm less negative about the Nintendo press conference than you are, and you seem to have come down a bit.
I've come down a bit. Morning. I mean, it was so unimpressive to me. I mean,
you
it
know,
was
what's frustrating.
It was just very – it was very much kind of like straight along the rails.
Right. What's frustrating is the stuff that I just talked about. You know, the fact that they didn't give any game they showed its due justice.
Yeah.
Like, because it was just every game – it was so economized. Every game is a trailer. Here's your trailer. Here's your next trailer. Here's your next trailer. Here is Puppet Miyamoto looking confused.
Yeah. And like, the thing is, too, like, I didn't think that Star Fox – like, Star Fox did not blow me away from a graphical standpoint.
No. It looks fun to play.
It looks fun. And, I mean, it looks true to the Star Fox formula. But I looked at it, and I was like, they really didn't focus on necessarily upgrading this thing visually.
I think their goal is to make it look like it's going fast.
Yeah.
So they've opted for speed versus, you know, texturing and stuff. Like, it looks very much actually like the 64 remake on 3DS. Like,
that's what I was thinking.
Graphic style.
Absolutely, yeah. It looks very much like Star Fox Assault. That's what it kept reminding me of.
The character models do, and then the world looks is almost dead identical for the 64 remake.
Yeah, and like yeah, yep.
It's curious. But the gameplay looks great. And you know, I never bought Star Fox for how it looked. The Star Fox the Super Nintendo looked like garbage.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's some precedence there.
Like, I'm excited to play that game. And that's cool. Like, that's the game I walked away from them going, okay, I want to play that. Mario Maker, we were losing our shit about Mario Maker.
Mario Maker looks really, really cool. That's actually
the game. We lost our shit on Sunday. I mean, we were... So John and I were talking on Sunday after doing Now Playing, and we were losing our minds.
Yeah, that game, I mean, like, watching them play at the Nintendo World Championships, hysterical. I mean, that looks really, really completely right up James and I's alley, because...
But what they didn't do is they still have yet to show what that whole game is. Like, they showed the level maker last year.
Mm-hmm.
They showed like what you can do in it now this year.
Yeah.
But they didn't sit down and show like, okay, this is the holistic experience of using Mario Maker. Mm-hmm. This is when you start, as you progress through creating a level, this is how you interact with the game world, this is how you build your level, this is how you share your level.
Yeah.
Like, that was what showing off what you can do in the format of the Nintendo World Championships was perfect. That's where they should have done it.
Yep.
But during their presentation is when they should have had Miyamoto sitting down and talking about how he made Mario levels is cool, but they did that on the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, like I didn't really care about it. I was like, okay, cool, like that's kind of quaint, like how you talk about like, oh, 1-1 and you know you
graph paper.
Yeah, like you can fall down here and here you can't, so you kind of, it's like a tutorial. Okay, that's cool, but I mean, actually walk me through how I'm going to create one of these worlds.
Like,
and then share it with people. Upload it. Can I upload it somewhere? Is there some service I upload it to?
I mean, there is. We know there
is. Yeah, but if you just, I mean, you would never know that if that was your
right.
If that was like, the first time you were exposed to the game.
And here's how the subtle restructuring of that whole thing. You show him and Tezuka sitting there, which they did. You show him, you know, hold up the graph paper and they talk about how I like to make World 2-1 first, and then I make it easier and make it World 1-1. It's like, that's kind of a funny thing. Like, Miyamoto thinks he's got a little bit of skill at Mario. Like,
yeah.
Like, he lets you inside a little bit. So, have him do that, and then show him sitting down from scratch and making a level. And then have him hand it to Tezuka.
Yeah.
And just let Tezuka, because Tezuka's amazing.
Yeah.
And just let Tezuka just lose it trying to play this really fiendish thing that, you know, his friend and colleague of 30 years has made up for him.
Yeah, now what I thought was cool was I saw Johnny's tweet earlier where I guess that in order to upload anything that you create, you have to beat it.
Good!
So you can't just create something that's completely impossible and just blindly upload it.
Right,
you
that's
have
good.
To be able to beat it, so...
That's just a tremendous amount of foresight on their part.
Yeah,
like,
that's
hey,
really
you have
good.
To prove this thing can be cleared.
Yep.
And... Like they didn't necessarily have to show him make the whole level. They could have cut some points, but you know, have him have that conversation he was having about, you know, when I create World 1. And he was actually making a level at that point. But just have a step back. He's picking up the gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
The game has just launched. Like, all right, I'm going in. This is how you created the level. This is how you link levels together. Just have him do that. Like, make a level, make a world. Show him uploading it. Show him handing it off to Tezuka, or have Tezuka log into his game at the other office and go like, I'm going to have Mr. Tezuka play it. And then have him cut to Kyoto, and he's pulling out this gamepad, downloading the stage, and then playing it, and just getting upset.
Yeah.
Like, just – and you wouldn't have to change what they did that much. But it's just a little tweak, and it's all presentational, and it would have given us the full experience of what Mario Maker is.
Yeah, it's like they focused on just on giving you the high points, but really the high points, everybody gets them.
Right. It's what the experience is like getting to the high points is what matters. It's how complete of a package is this thing.
Yep.
And so they could have done that if they had done Star Fox better. They could have done that. I don't mean the game better. I mean if they had just, you know, not shown it to some members of the press last year, just to get some buzz going on it and mm-hmm. not teased it, just shown it.
Yeah.
Just blown us out with that. You know, if they had shown if Xenoblade Chronicles X wasn't already out in Japan and we already know everything there is to know about that game because people haven't beaten it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had just show gameplay for Shin Megami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem instead. Show actual gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, show you know. Don't treat the two Zelda games the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? I mean, did you get that reaction that the fact they're treating these two 3DS Zelda games fairly the same is weird?
Yeah, it made them both feel kind of. You know, that's where like I think that kind of gives the spin-off feel.
Like, right, because one of those games is a port.
Yeah, and I mean neither one of them. That's the thing. It's like it came across as we don't feel that either one of these is important enough to merit full exposure, right. Instead, like full time,
instead,
full screen time.
Have Aonuma, the director of Zelda, I'm blanking what his name is right now, and then, I don't know, somebody else in the Zelda franchise sit there and play that game together. Like, introduce it, have them give context for what it is, you know, you can explain the different costumes and stuff, and then have them play a stage while they're explaining it.
Yeah.
Let the stage show what they're saying. You know, it's say, don't, or show, don't say.
Yep.
Like, actually show how Link in Zelda's dress solved that puzzle. Show why there was somebody cheerleading on the side all the time.
Yeah.
Like, show what, they say, you know, these costumes give you powers, unique powers, help you solve, but show it. Show us that means more. Show us that means more than just an item. And I think they could have. They just didn't.
Yeah.
Like, they just needed a new director.
Yeah, it was just, it was just kind of weird. I mean, it was very, especially in a, you know, in a format like this where it's E3 and you can take as much time as you want.
Right. Your shit's pre-recorded.
Yeah, I mean, people are expecting, I mean, I saw complaints, online where people were like, it was only an hour long. I mean,
and it wasn't even an hour; it's 51 minutes.
Yeah, and people were like, "I was expecting an hour and a half." You know, and that's generally the running time now is an hour and a half.
Right.
So, I mean, they have at least an hour and a half before people start saying, "Hey, it's getting long."
Right. I mean, you could have done that. You could have done an hour and a half, and you could have stretched some of these things out.
Yep.
And people were complaining that they said that the developer interviews felt like padding. And the only reason they felt like padding is they weren't done right.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't done in a way that complements, that gives you this kind of experience of A, what the game is, and B, why it's that way.
Yeah, it was
why
like,
this person made it that way.
Yeah, it was sort of like some personal anecdote that only, you know, that didn't really relate to the actual gameplay of the game in question, and then a brief trailer of the game, and then on to the next one.
Right. It's like it would have been so much better if they just, you know, they built the same narratives, but they built it around the game versus building it around the person showing the game.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. All right, it's cute that they have this woman on staff who just like, she's like, I'm not a great artist. I'm not a programmer. I wasn't sure how I can contribute to this game. And then these Yoshis I needed, and they're like, that's the game. Like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear that story because that story's neat. Like, that's how they ended up where they're at. But okay. Like, to her credit, they did start talking about, like, we made the Poochie, and then we realized, actually, Poochie and Yarn is super adorable.
Yeah.
And so we changed what we did with it. It's like, okay, that's cool. Like, more of that.
Yeah.
More of how this game came into being. We kind of already did that last year with Yoshi's Woolly World.
Yeah, and really, that could have been done on Nintendo's YouTube channel or on their website after the fact.
After the show.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
A lot of this just feels like it's because they announced all this stuff early.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this was just a Nintendo Direct, we'd have been like, that's a pretty cool Nintendo Direct. Good job, Nintendo. But it wasn't. And it isn't.
Nope.
And I mean, I don't know. I feel better about it now than I did at the time. Because I feel like I'd gotten – even though I had the list.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, no, this is going to be better than that. This is going to be better. This is just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, nothing – that's the thing. Nothing really surprised me. It was like, okay – like, a lot of the stuff was like, all right, you're putting out a Mario Tennis game. Check. Okay, another Hyrule Warriors game. Doesn't surprise me.
The Hyrule – same one. It's a port.
Yeah. I mean, not surprising. You know, three swords. All right. That's cool. Nice little side treat. Appetizer, if you will.
That was a surprising game.
Yeah, that was a surprising game. That was a neat surprise. Not something I'm gonna flip my shit over, but
no. But I'm looking forward to playing it with like you and Gee.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
We will yell at each other so much playing that game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Star Fox. I'm like, yep, okay, cool. That's, you know, that is very cool looking.
It wasn't a surprise because they gave us what we wanted, though.
Yeah,
because they gave us Star Fox 64 too.
Yep,
and that's why it wasn't surprising.
Exactly.
But that's okay because that's what we want.
Yeah, that's okay. That's...
But if we didn't know Star Fox was there, we would have lost our minds.
Yeah.
We would have gone, oh my God, they finally did it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, just the fact that it was after that where I was like, okay, so they've announced Star Fox. That's cool. We knew about that. But what's the big game? What's the bombshell that they're going to drop that we don't know about? And then it's like a game would go by and it'd be like, okay, still waiting for the bombshell. Another game. Still waiting. Another game. Still waiting. And then it's like,
and to them, I think it was Star Fox. I think to them, they'd never. I mean, yes, they have never shown Star Fox publicly. Yep. They had a blurred out TV one time.
I mean,
back when Miyamoto was given Aonuma crap for my game's going to be out before yours.
I mean, that's just the state of Nintendo right now, apparently. Apparently, they just do not have enough people to go around to support Wii U and NX at the same time. I mean, obviously, things have shifted over to NX at this point. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
I think what they've been smart about, though, and, you know, I want us to not be just... I think actually we've been less negative than I was afraid we would be. I think what they've been very smart about, and we touched on earlier, the idea of these kind of spin-off games where they're bringing in another party. I think they've really just started getting going on that fairly recently.
That's the thing, though. Those games cannot replace the heavy hitters.
No, they can't. But
they can't. That's the problem. They're kind of trying to do that.
If you have them... Well, I think they're trying to do that because they went and front-loaded all the heavy hitters onto the Wii as early as they could just to get the system on its feet.
Yeah.
I think if you've got those games in the chute, you can then space your heavy hitters out better.
Yeah.
You could say Mario Kart's going to come out. Smash isn't coming out the next year.
Yeah.
We'll put something else there, and then Smash will come out that year. We'll put two AA Nintendo titles there instead of Smash. And then you could have Mario Kart be the AAA multiplayer Nintendo game for a couple years. Then you drop Smash on it. Then the next year you put something else out there. Maybe you do a big single player experience and, you know, a second tier multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can start to shuffle your lineup and be more consistent with where you put your games out.
Yeah.
And that lets you... You still have gaps in your lineup because they're not going to be able... They can't afford to produce games so that the Wii U has, you know, a big game every month.
Yeah.
But... They could produce a lineup where the Wii U has, you know, a really big, like, we are super, super, super fucking excited. We'll do a special podcast about it when it comes out game every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they should. They should have a big game of that size every year.
Yep.
They should have, you know, they should try to have one game like Bayonetta that's going to appease a small audience, but that audience is super rabid.
Yep.
They should aspire to have one of those every year. They should aspire to have, you know, a franchise they're not featuring that year have a big, interesting, third-party developed spin-off title. Hyrule Warriors did really well for them.
Yeah.
Because it's a good game. Yeah. Like, it's a uniquely good game in the Dynasty Warriors franchise.
Yeah, I mean...
I know what I just said.
But Nintendo, yeah. But Nintendo, they've always had a problem spacing out major releases and major series. They always have. It seems like they have a hard time keeping multiple teams going on large projects. So, for example,
and not letting them run into each other.
Yeah, like you would never see something like in a 3-year span, or like a 4-year span, like a major 3D Mario game followed by a major 3D Metroid game followed by, you know, Star Fox followed by, you know, something else. You don't see that. It's always like these massive gaps. Like Metroid comes out and then 6 or 7 years go by with no Metroid, but sprinkled in there, you have a 3D Mario, and it's just...
We had a 2D Mario.
I just feel like they're bad at planning.
Right. And maybe this is how they're trying to get better at planning.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to plan when you've got all your resources running at 100%.
Yeah.
And because that means you don't get to experiment either.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, people, you know, kind of crap on these game teams that, you know, that spit out, you know, the same game year after year. But that's actually fairly impressive from a planning point of view when Nintendo can't even do that with its major franchises, when that's all it's producing. Right? Like, so...
But, I mean, it goes to the opposite problem, though, of then you get stagnant. Then you run into things like Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. what are we on, 4
yeah,
or 5?
Yeah, I'm not advocating necessarily what those companies
do. We were making fun of Nathan Drake before we started recording.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just the fact that it can be done, and I don't know why Nintendo struggles with it so mightily, or seems
because
to.
Because I think they don't want to. I think they're so worried about being seen as releasing the same game.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. They could completely. I mean, if they did like F-Zero 1 year was a big release, you know, Metroid, 3D Mario, you know, Splatoon 2 or something. And then came back 4 or 5 years after the fact and did F-Zero, a sequel to it, people would be like, well, that's just amazing. You know?
Right.
That's like the perfect timing to introduce a new version of the series.
They have internally fetishized innovation.
Mm-hmm.
To the point, like it really is. Like I feel like when they release a game, that if they don't feel like they've done something sufficiently different, they don't feel like they're succeeding.
Yeah, I can understand where they're coming from and why it happens. I kind of get that, but I feel like they're almost too. I feel like they don't have that luxury anymore.
Well, I think that's maybe what they're trying to buy themselves with these kinds of arrangements. They're trying to buy themselves time. They're saying, you will get a Zelda game every other year.
Yeah.
You will. And it
in it may some not be, form.
It won't be a mainline Zelda game, but, you know, people on our staff have dumped hundreds of hours into Hyrule Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so...
You'll never get that time back, guys.
You won't, no. Or that DLC money. Mm-hmm. But, like, if they... Let's say they release a Zelda game. A Zelda console game.
Yep.
They release a Zelda spin-off handheld game.
Mm-hmm.
They release the next year. They release a Zelda handheld game the following year.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, they don't release a Zelda game at all. And tease the following Zelda game. Then they release a Zelda game in year 4. That gives them time to innovate and build a new game.
Yeah.
From scratch. And that gives them 4 years to make that game.
That's the thing, that though. I mean, people don't see handheld games as equivalent to
console
games. Thing is, Nintendo themselves have kind of conditioned people that way.
But just even then, you still had a Zelda game on the consoles at a 2-year window.
Yeah.
And you went game release, year off. If you're just talking consoles, game release, year off, spin off, year off, game release.
Mm-hmm.
You really had 3 years to make your next game.
Yeah.
But you would have started planning on game one while game two while game one was in the final production stages. And that gives you flexibility to experiment. I mean, you've got 4 years to put a game together.
Yeah.
So your ideas people are rolling off game one and moving on to game four. But, you know, if you slide one back to year five to give that team a break to do something else, which I think they need to do more often,
mm-hmm.
that's fine because you could still cover for it. Maybe you slip two spin-off windows in there and then you give the full game.
Yeah.
You know, it's the transition from their games being once in a generation. Like one 3D Mario platformer in a generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because N64, Super Nintendo had two, I guess, platformers because they had, you know, Yoshi's Island.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different. And then, you know, N64 had one, GameCube had one, Wii had two, and really those are two sides of the same coin for that game. That's really a level pack more than anything.
Yep.
And it's an amazing fucking level pack though.
Yep.
Yeah,
but see that. But that makes sense, though, right? Because that's really what everybody else does. I mean, what everybody else does is they make an engine, and then they get. I mean, speaking of Uncharted, I mean, how many times have they reused that engine?
I'll tell you what's not Uncharted: the Uncharted engine.
Exactly. I mean, they used it for, you know, Uncharted, Uncharted 3. They used it for The Last of Us.
So
they've probably modified it for something. Hell, they've probably modified it for Last of Us Remastered, so...
Yep. So I'll tell you, like, Xenoblade and Zelda.
Mm-hmm. That's just smart. That's not really being exploitive, that's just being smart.
Right. Xenoblade and Zelda almost certainly run the same engine.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, because they had Monolith and Nintendo were probably co-producing an engine to make a big world game.
Yeah.
And the engine's more than just how it looks. Like, this isn't like Unreal. Like, when we used to make jokes about the Unreal engine because, like, everything looked the same.
Yeah, everything looked like it was coated in water.
Yeah. But, like, that's because the Unreal engine is a graphics engine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a gameplay engine. This is a world-building engine. You can put your graphics engine on top of that, and maybe they do run similar graphics engines. Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, we talked about that when we did the retroactive. Mm-hmm. They share an engine.
Yep.
And sometimes Wind Waker sneaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes it makes a little, it pokes out and goes, hey, I'm right here still.
Yep.
Remember Color? This game doesn't, but I do.
Yep.
Like, it's there and it's hiding under the covers. Skyward Sword's its own engine. Like, that game is crazy. They built an engine for it.
Yeah.
And that's probably the only game that ever used it afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nuts. But it's, you know, that's one of the things Nintendo having all these dev studios, like, getting them in sync with one another will help with, because intelligence systems build stuff.
Mm hmm.
There are intelligent system dev kits and Nintendo dev kits. They're different things.
Yep, they're like different forks, if you will.
There is a second party who's building dev kits for Nintendo systems.
Yep,
and people think it's the better one.
Yeah,
it's like that's weird.
That does not surprise me, because Nintendo's strength has never really been development developer friendliness, let's say.
Right, they build it for themselves.
Yeah, they build it for themselves, so.
So, but that means that there are, you know, Nintendo actually bringing these companies in to do spin-offs gives them more developers who may be developing tech they can end up reusing.
Yeah.
Like, the more people you have working on your system, the more opportunity there is for reuse. And as the publisher of all those games, because they would get to own that tech.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine if they could just have – I mean, Monolith Soft is great. Monolith Soft cranked out tech for Xenoblade.
Yeah.
That tech ended up in, like, 10 Wii games at the end of its life.
Yeah.
And because it was good. And Nintendo said, we don't have to build this shit? Great. Throw it in Zelda. I don't care.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like this was the year where them railroading all their stuff to the front of the line came back to bite them finally.
I also think that they really need to address the third-party issue.
They do. But I don't know what they can do right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can't – I mean, the Wii U is a lost cause. It is what it is. But on NX, if they do not take care of that third-party issue
– Sure.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, they have to. But, I mean – Again, we don't know what NX is.
I'm hopeful for it. But this is the year where I was just like, man, they are really getting killed. Because, I mean, when you're at E3 and the only Western third-party game announced for your console is Just Dance, there's literally nothing else. That is just
– Do you want to say it again?
Just Dance?
Well, you're missing one.
I don't know. What is the other one? Is there another one?
Skylanders.
Oh, Skylanders, right.
Remember with the exclusive right. dual mode Amiibo Skylander figurine?
Yeah, I try to block out anything involving Skylanders and Amiibo. If you want something that is just a part of my brain that is completely just empty from PTSD,
hair.
It's Skylanders and Amiibo. Those two things, well, my brain automatically just tunes out whenever those things are mentioned,
John,
especially
I mean, come
in concert.
We have to at least acknowledge the complete insanity that there is now an Amiibo Skylander hybrid product.
I mean, I was watching that. That's what I'm just like. I'm like, check, please. You know I'm out of here. I'm cashing out. I'm out of here.
I was super bought in at that point. I'm like, they just fucking went and did it.
Yeah. I will say I did really like that Pixel Mario, the old school Pixel Mario Amiibo.
Yeah.
That was really cool. No.
That's how it starts.
No, it's not starting.
Your cat's not going to have any room in the apartment because you're full of fucking Amiibo.
No way, man. But I'm just saying, I am a man. I have interests. There are certain things that look better to me than others, and I am saying that Amiibo.
Are we talking about people or Amiibos here?
I am saying that Amiibo looks better.
Are you coming on to me, John?
I'm saying that Amiibo looks better than other Amiibos.
Okay, fair enough.
I am not saying I'm going to go out and buy it. I am not saying I am going to camp out at a Best Buy, which is about 3 miles
from
here.
But you might take it home for the evening, is what you're telling me.
I might. Oh,
so John's cat, if you're listening, I'm sorry. This is where the plastic army begins to reinvade your home. Man. I know you thought you'd gotten away from that, but the cat helmet is real.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. See, for the right game, I'll go Amiibo. For the right game, and Super Mario Maker might be that game. Might be.
For the right game, you know, I mean...
I'll go Amiibo.
I'm willing to experiment.
You know, I'm just saying.
Like, to me, the best part of that announcement was that it was crazy. Like, that's what I want from Nintendo. I want them to do stupid shit. Mm-hmm. Like, just shit where I go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And that was it. That was the part where I'm like, we just that's like Hong Kong original stuff. Like, that's what you'd expect to see from in like the dollar shops in LA where you're negotiating for the price of everything, and you can buy Pokemon Black Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this figure works on Amiibo and Skylanders. Is this official? Yes. Why is it spelled Skylanders? It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so nuts. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Just give it to me. Give it to me right now. I'll take it. I'll take the dumb thing from you.
Yeah. Now, apparently, Super Mario Maker is going to have, what, 40 stages from Treehouse? Made by Treehouse,
God,
I think.
That's a lot of stages.
So, and this is kind of what we were talking about. We were like, you know, if they have, you know, 50 worlds that you can go through, which is, I think, the number we actually kind of pegged. So it looks like they're going to have 40. So that makes it a pretty good deal, I think.
And you could download them from, and you could download worlds that could be completed from the internet. I hope there's like a rating system and stuff where people could say, like, this is a really good one, this is a bad one.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I just hope
But you know, if they get that wrong, they can fix it.
That's the important part. They can fix it. Yeah,
that's something that can be fixed.
Yeah,
and that's good. Like we're to the point on Mario Maker concerns now where anything that we think they can screw up, they can fix.
Yeah,
versus where we were a year ago where we weren't sure. And like that's good. That makes you feel a lot better about the game. That's one place they really succeeded in this event. Like, mm-hmm. I feel better about that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I wish we recorded us going nuts on Sunday.
Yeah, it was funny.
Like we were children.
Yeah, I mean, we were just looking at it and we're like, boy, there is some potential here for trolling.
Oh yeah, like we need to put together a tournament, and the tournament, we will be the judges.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I hope there's more stuff like that. I mean, maybe not in the first release, but maybe with follow-on DLC or even, you know, or anything they add to it, where you can actually have tournaments where you can set up a gauntlet of worlds that you create.
Oh, John.
And have somebody go through them and just say, you know what, like... And,
time attack?
Yeah, time attack, stuff like that. I mean, there's so much you can do with that concept that it's...
I'm thinking from the other side, really though, cool. We need to have a tournament where we are the judges and the people who submit the trolliest freaking levels.
Yeah.
Just real, real monsters.
Yep.
I mean, those are our chosen people.
And you could do something like, you could get like some volunteers, you know, five people that volunteer, and, you know, you could get readers or like our audience to they could submit stuff and we could judge, and we could just say, okay, you guys, you've never seen these before, but have at it.
Yep. We want to hear what you think when you see them.
There's so much stuff you can do with the concept.
Oh, it's going to like that. That's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be great for us. And you know, I haven't talked about it on the show yet, but you know, I bought Splatoon, after beating Donkey Kong, and I've really enjoyed it. Like there's definitely, like John, I really think you'd enjoy that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's
legitimately like I've lost hours on it and then gone like, I'm not having fun with this game. I looked up, it was like 4 hours later. I'm like, oh
yeah,
all right, never mind. Like there is definitely a part of that company that is growing and gets why interaction socially on these games, not just, you know, couch multiplayer works. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is they didn't have anything to demo it this year. Like they said, Star Fox is a single player experience.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, really? I'm impressed in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they need something to show us that they still get it, that they're still on point. And maybe this game is it, but because we didn't get to see anything but stage creation and people playing the stages, we don't get to see that.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't think their lineup was especially terrible. I think we came away thinking that because there just wasn't much happening.
Well, it was very average and not really many surprises, and people expected something big and there really wasn't.
Right. But the takeaway people had from it was, this is the worst E3 Nintendo's ever had. I'm like, no. No.
No, it's not. No. Absolutely, it's not.
No, there's
but,
like three
I mean,
worse in the last 10 years. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, definitely like the Pac-Man one was terrible.
The Wii Music one.
The Wii Music one was terrible. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like I was trying to think of where it placed, and I would say it's probably like, what do you think? It's not I wouldn't even say it's probably not even top five.
Top five worst, you mean?
Yeah, top five worst. Nah. I mean, it wouldn't even
maybe right at the edge of the top.
Yeah,
five.
Like that's what I was thinking, like maybe six or seven. But I mean, there's at least three that were
the Nintendo
I mean,
Land one, because that was the year we saw Wii U and us. Oh shit, they don't have any games.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some that have been absolutely abysmal. I mean, this one at least had good games. I mean, there's been one where like there's some where like there just weren't any games and they were like, yeah, we're showing you Pac-Man versus because we literally have nothing else.
Look at this. You can hook up GPAs to your GameCube.
Yeah.
Play Pac-Man.
I mean, just absolutely terrible stuff. Like,
let's, because I've already completely lost the format for these I did for the other two guys. So, which I'm fine with. You know, we're loose here. We're very loose.
Oh, yeah. You have no idea.
I would like to keep it that way. like, is there a game that they talked about that you look at and you go, like, yes, that is cool?
I mean, Super Mario Maker.
Yeah. Oh,
that's,
totally.
That's like, really it. I mean, Star Fox I looked at and I was like, Star Fox looks cool. Star Fox looks cool. But very, I mean,
like I like that they've decided that they want to so homage this thing as retro that they went with the art style of the puppets from the front of the Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Star Fox was exactly what I wanted from Star Fox on Wii U. Yep. I can honestly say that. Now, does that excite me as much as other things? No, it doesn't.
Because Star Fox is always going to be a tear down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because it's not the big meaty experience.
Absolutely.
It's very cinematic. It's yeah, but it will be a cool game and it will be fun to play it and I'm looking forward to having it in my hands.
Yeah, I mean Star Fox to me is in the same tier as F-Zero, where F-Zero will never be a frontline franchise, but when it comes out, it's a big deal and you'll love it.
And in a bad year, it can be your tentpole as long as you've got good games around it.
Yes.
If you've got good games in other genres, you know, backing it up in that window, it can be your winner game.
Yeah, it's just not a tentpole game. Star Fox to me is not a tentpole game.
Right, it needs support. Now it can be the biggest pole, but it would need support.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you for not going there. it can be the most important of a series of games that are lumped together to fill that role. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of doing that. So Mario Maker and Xenoblade.
Yeah.
Like, those are three very distinct genres, and they're three games that should be very good.
Mm-hmm.
And that are very interesting and are unlike anything else on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say at the end of the year, it's not great, but they've got stuff there.
Yeah, it's missing that blockbuster.
Right, it's just...
You know,
There's
nothing like
spice.
Yeah, that's the thing, is there's no blockbuster. There's a bunch of supporting titles, but there's no like lead title. There's no like Zelda or 3D Mario. There's nothing that makes you say, okay, well, I'm definitely gonna buy this, and you know what? I'm probably gonna buy this, this, and this too.
Right. If those three games were all surprises, like we didn't know they existed,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, here's Xenoblade Chronicles X, Star Fox, and Mario Maker, and they're coming out this year, we'd have lost our minds.
Yeah.
That would have been an unbelievable presentation. We said, oh my God, their 2015 is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, as it
They're
stands,
the same fucking games.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. Like, none of those games to me are games where I'm like, I absolutely, absolutely have to buy that day one, no question whatsoever.
But if the end of their presentation, they announced those three games for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming out this November and December.
Yeah.
Like, you would have walked away going, wow. That's a hell of an ending to that press conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just, you know, it would have been like, wow, like, just mega bombs coming in.
Right. It's all in the presentation.
Yeah.
And that, like, I think, like, I was, I mean, you talked to me afterwards. I mean, I came across as fairly apoplectic, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't, you know, upset. I was kind of like, wow, that's.
I just said, I was just like, wow, that was really weak.
Yeah.
I mean, I just couldn't believe how weak that was.
As I've talked about these games and I've done, you know, new stuff because I've been doing home team work since 10 in the morning, East Coast time. Like, I've kind of adjusted to the fact there's no Megatons and there's not going to be one coming.
Yeah.
But, like, the games themselves, I kind of want to play them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, none of those games are bad. Like, I looked at, you know, like Mario Tennis. I mean, There's nothing wrong with that game. It's going to be a fun game, but it's a complimentary. That's a complimentary title,
right.
To the meat of a lineup.
If it's got online play and it's fun and it works, then yeah,
yeah.
Let's let it go. Let's have it.
Yep.
Let's let it rip.
Yeah, I mean we felt like this before with Nintendo, you know, press conferences where you're kind of like looking for that. You're looking for that title to be really over the moon about.
Right.
And there was nothing in this E3 Direct that gave you that feeling. Like that,
right.
Like, holy shit, like, oh my God kind of thing. Like, I mean, you know, like, and you kind of saw that in you know, like, Sony. I mean, that's why. I mean, it's completely, it sounds silly, but it is completely wish fulfillment. You know?
Right.
It doesn't even matter if the game is coming out this year. It doesn't even matter.
Comes out.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter if the game has been delayed for 6 years, 7 years, or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's wish fulfillment. And Nintendo didn't do a good job of wish fulfillment this year, I don't think.
It doesn't even matter if Shenmue 3 is actually garbage because
yeah.
open world
games... Was Shenmue... Were those games ever really good? I don't know.
We didn't understand what open world games were back then.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to play a Shenmue game, that's kind of what Yakuza turned into.
Yeah.
Yakuza is sort of what those games turned into from the Sega standpoint.
It's like that's the thing. I was thinking about this. I mean, were any of the games that Team Ico made, when those games came out, it's not like they were blockbusters. Those were B-level titles when they came out. And all of a sudden, a game from them is like the hugest thing.
Nostalgia.
It's nostalgia. It's rose-colored.
I mean,
glasses.
I talked about those games for the first time recently on the show. And
yeah.
They're very interesting. And I'm sure this one will be too. But
they're
like,
good games, right? But that's the thing. It's like they are not these...
It's all in the presentation.
Yeah, exactly. It's like those games are not these paragons of design, these blockbusters that change the course of game design forever. They're just really, really cool games, much like many games that Nintendo has put out over the years, right? But for some, but that's the thing. But those games have been because it's like, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And when
so you're
you don't,
they should delay every game they've got coming out this year for 2 years.
That's
all of them. They should release
that's
no
the
games
obvious
on
course
Wii U or
of
3DS.
Action. No, but that's the thing, though. But it's like something like it's like anything like Half-Life 3. Half-Life 3, people would lose their mind over Half-Life 3. Simply because they've never been given Half-Life 3. It would have absolutely nothing to do with how good that game is, whether or not it like lives up to whatever that it's just the fact that getting Half-Life 3 has become a thing unto itself.
I want them to walk out on stage and announce Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
Yeah.
And in the same engine they've been using.
Yeah. Like that's the thing, but it defies any rational thought. And it's just the fact that people think that they're never going to get something. So when they do finally get it, it doesn't have anything to do with the quality of what they're actually getting. Just the fact that they're getting it in some form is that's all they need. And it's like, oh my God, Sony wins E3 because, you know, they gave me this game that I never thought I'd get. It doesn't have anything to do with the game itself.
Well, I mean, to be fair, isn't that what the Blades Will Bleed trailer that we talked about during the Twilight Princess?
Yeah. Very much so.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
Like Nintendo used to play that game super hard.
Yeah. Yep.
And they did with Zelda last year, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't keep doing that every year on the same game.
Yep.
So next year, I think, you know, we'll see Zelda, obviously.
Next year, I think it'll be all smartphone games. It'll be like Candy Crush Mario, I think. That'll be big. Clash of Hyrule Clans, I think it's going to be big.
You could have just said Clash of Hyrule. I want to hit you so hard right now. I want to get like a bottle of whiskey and just glass it with it.
You know it. The thing is though, in your heart of hearts, you know that it's partially true.
No, it was not.
It's going to happen. Come on, man. You know.
Here's the thing, though.
You are going to see them show off smartphone games at E3. It's gonna happen.
But here's the thing: does anybody who cares about smartphone games care about E3?
You know, it's gonna be like that EA press. Was it EA where they showed the?
Yeah,
and
everybody shit on them for
Yep, yeah, it's like Minions. We have a game about Minions. Look at this. And everybody's just like, ugh. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh man, this is the wrong crowd to show this stuff to.
Yeah, exactly. So I think actually it's good that this happened before Nintendo has mobile stuff to show, because I think maybe they'll get the lesson.
Where else are they going to show it, though, man?
But that's the whole thing, though.
The mobile games are going to be.
John, does your mom follow E3 news?
Not lately, no.
Your mom is a target for mobile games.
The mobile games are going to be – but you know those games are going to be tied into their console stuff. It's going to happen, man. They got to do it. You know, E3 is the whole world.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That's what they told me. That's what it says in the brochure. It's the whole world. So you have to do the smartphone games.
You don't.
Yes, you do. Nintendo, show me smartphone games. That's what I want. You want to take my feedback, Iwata? Give
you
me the smartphone game.
Garbage.
I know you're listening intently. I want you to put on your please understand hat and take this request from me. Show me smartphone games, and possibly only smartphone games at next year's E3. It would go over fantastically.
If I'm at E3 next year and their only announcement is smartphone games, we are going to drive up there.
I'm just saying, just bring an Android phone.
And I am going to kick your door in.
That's what I'm saying. Free Wi-Fi and just bring your Android phone. That's what it's going to be.
Jesus.
Yep. I mean,
I want to say that at the start of Guillaume's segment, we go like, I don't know how the one with John went. I didn't think it was going to go here.
Just, you know, I'm just saying, next year at E3, you'll connect to Wi-Fi access points with your Android phone, and they're going to be called Please Understand. So just find that. Just search that in the little list of Wi-Fi access points and just click on Please Understand. And
this isn't how I expected this to get so salty. Yeah. Like, I thought it was just going to be just like... I didn't think we were going to, like, just creating this alternate reality where Nintendo's completely dropped out of the video game business.
It's not all that alternate. It's not all that alternate.
So I do want to say, on that front, because I'm never going to get a chance to talk business again when Johnny comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not a chance to happen.
It's verboten.
Yeah. While the growth industry of the video games is in smartphones, that is a true statement, it still makes up less than 8% of the industry's intake. Console and handheld development still brings in more money. Which means if you're really super worried because of John being a fucking asshole right now, you don't have to worry about it so much. Because there's only so much money to go around in that business. And Nintendo's only going to do a handful of those games a year. And we may see them in E3, but I think that would actually be a mistake. I think it'd be better to show them off in an industry-focused event for that. And those things do exist for some stupid reason.
I just don't know. I don't know what that event would be where Nintendo would actually show it off. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing. I mean... Why?
I don't know that you have to. I don't know, like, that you need to have press events for a smartphone game. I mean, are we?
I'm telling you, man. You're gonna see him at E3 because that is the place that you would announce it. Nintendo of all companies. I mean, Nintendo is not. They're not gung ho. They're not Supercell. I don't even know where they announce those games.
In Japan.
Yeah, I guess.
In Japan, TGS. TGS actually is mobile. Does actually have a lot.
Yeah,
of
mobile. I guess that's a good point. TGS would be. It's, but see, like, TGS is unaffiliated enough. See, that's the thing. Like, when I think of E3, it's console gaming.
Right. TGS is a weird play. And you say PC, but it wasn't PC until recently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, yeah.
My first E3 in 09, there were no PCs in its sight.
Yeah, I mean, that was PC gaming at that point was in the wilderness, so.
Right. I mean, so it's... I'm not worried about seeing those at E3. I don't think that's the right play for it, but TGS? You may see Nintendo go to TGS.
I demand it.
You demand it at E3.
I demand it. Actually, you know what I want? I want Sting. This is what I want. I want Sting wrestling Tony Hawk.
Oh, that Sting.
On a half pipe. Announcing Nintendo's next smartphone game.
Are they actually skating on the half pipe, or are they just wrestling on it?
They could be wrestling on a skateboard.
Just one, though.
Yep.
Is it like Hell in the Cell, where you're trying to get the... Oh, no, is it Money in the Bank, where you're trying to get the skateboard?
Yes, absolutely.
The first person to complete Nolly gets to get the money.
Yes, it is a skateboard in the bank match. And it's going to be for Nintendo's new smartphone game.
What do you win? What do you win if you win it?
Are you the lead character in their new
cookie cutter game?
Yeah, you get to keep the... The skateboard, and you get to have yourself scanned into their next smartphone game, which is a skateboarding game made by the guys that made Ollie Ollie.
God damn it.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you say that because you know it's not completely
No, but because I'm imagining this happening at an Activision booth now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And we're about if Sting were about 10 years newer.
Yeah.
That would have happened in about 1998.
Yep.
You would have had Sting and Tony Hawk in the Activision booth at the same time doing a promo together.
Yep.
That ended with some kind of weird wrestling skateboarding game.
Yep. You know,
E3 is weird, John.
E3 is a strange place. I've been there.
And on that note, we're going to throw it over to Guillaume. We've got Guillaume coming up. How do you think Guillaume felt about this show, John?
Well, he probably thinks it's charming.
Okay.
He probably liked Yoshi's Woolly World.
He did.
Yoshi's Woolly World. Sorry. I don't think that he will be completely over the moon about it, though. I think he'll just be kind of like, yeah, you know, not bad.
That's good.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
I'll spoil it for you. He actually didn't follow E3 that much.
Yeah. Well, I guess it shows you who cares and who doesn't, huh?
Yeah, me and the rest of you. That's you're trying to get friggin' Tony Hawk pro wrestler on the main stage
look,
over at E3.
Look, I'm just know. Look, man, I know. I'll go back to what I said earlier. I understand the spectacle that E3 should be. It should have.
Yeah, Tony Hawk joining the Ravens flight is definitely what E3 needs.
It should have. E3 should definitely have structures built indoors that should never be indoors, whatever they may be. I mean,
we built a cannon.
I'm thinking something like an aquarium housing a killer whale, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff I would expect.
Like a full-grown killer whale or just a baby?
I mean, a full-grown killer whale. They can move those things around, you know?
I want to make
it's
sure.
It's 2015.
Sure.
You can move killer whales from aquarium to aquarium. They don't really care.
They're just like, whatever.
They're bred that way, man. Move killer whales. Move them at will.
How many fireworks? Indoors.
I think
indoors, obviously.
Multiple fireworks. I mean, you know.
In the killer whale tank?
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I think that they should actually build. They should build a huge. I'll do you one better.
All right. Do me two better.
Make the killer whale tank quite a bit larger than I would have envisioned, which is large already. Make it a bit larger. Put the fireworks on a barge out in the middle of the tank and have them fired from there while the killer whale like jumps over them.
Oh, okay.
Photo opportunities, James. Photo opportunities.
Are we just doing this in the wreckage of the Sega booth that's no longer there? we're just gonna take that stretch that was Sega, Square Enix, and Konami and just put it there.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll just have to relocate Square Enix. The rest of them won't be there, so it's fine.
I mean, we already know what Square Enix is gonna show anyways. It'll be Final Fantasy.
They're showing Figma.
It'll be Hitman and Final Fantasy something.
No, it's figurines of jewelry. That's what Square Enix is showing in their booth every year. So we'll just move them. We'll actually let them in West Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it South Hall? South Hall is the big one.
Yeah.
The one where the actual important companies are.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let them in South Hall. We'll let them pretend like they're an important company. That will free up the Konami, Square Enix, Sega triangle. You can put your killer whale barge there.
Mm-hmm.
What if the killer whale is shooting the rockets?
I like how we're actually calling it the killer whale barge now.
Yeah, that's just what we're going to call it. Can we tie that game in with Kane and Lynch 4? Or that the killer whale barge. Can we do that?
I think it's only right. I mean, I think you could put something on the side of the killer whale for Kane and Lynch 4.
Can it be Kane and Lynch Mobile?
Sure.
Can they ride a whale in the game is my question.
I mean,
they ride a whale during their E3
I won't
presser?
Speak for the development team. But I think with today's technology, you could easily put a killer whale into a Kane and Lynch
game. I mean, we're the marketing team. The development team doesn't matter. Can we put Kane and Lynch on the whale while the fireworks are shooting during the show? Will the fire marshal allow that?
It's a video game. There is no fire marshal.
Well, no.
Are you saying like Kane and Lynch actors on the killer whale?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Can we book Sting to be Lynch? Is he available?
I'm sure he's available. We might have to talk to Vince McMahon about it, but I'm sure he's available.
Can we get Vince to be Kane?
That I don't know. He's an aging man. Well, but so is Sting. I mean, Sting's 55, so...
Do we have the technology to lower the killer whale from the ceiling? That's really what matters.
We can find a harness for it.
Can it drive a car into the convention center?
That I don't think so. I think you've reached the limits right there.
Can we get the whale to wear a red crushed velvet suit?
I think that could actually be done.
All right, we'll do that. That's how we're going to save Nintendo at E3. We're going to have Kane and Lynch 4 for mobile.
Somebody in the audience write this down.
Vince McMahon and Sting will be playing Kane and Lynch respectively.
Indeed.
The whale will drive to its tank from Alameda. I'm thinking a big truck, but we'll deal with that when we get there. It will then put on a red crushed velvet suit, jump over the fireworks, and we'll give Kane and Lynch their directives on who to kill.
Yep.
But we won't actually kill anybody during the show. They'll just shoot paintballs off. I don't know, in the Activision booth, who will notice the difference if there's paintballs going off in that booth anyway. It's all just fucking chaos there to begin with.
It is.
And
with that, I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah, I think that should be the end of the show, because we've already gone and saved D3. So, John, Guillaume doesn't have anything about Kane and Lynch, or whales, or fireworks. And Greg had two of the three.
Yeah.
So I think you've really outdone yourself today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
All right, and on that, I'm going to roll it over to Guillaume. Welcome back. We are. It's still Tuesday night. We're still talking responses to Nintendo's digital event, but this time we're talking with Mr. Guillaume Veillette.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, Guillaume.
So I've been working, actually, all day today, and I've been sneaking glances at the Nintendo stuff, some Treehouse stuff. I've watched a whole conference, but, you know, like, if I get a few things wrong, please forgive me. Please understand.
Fine. Yeah, we will understand. So I guess I will start with the way we've been starting these so far. Immediate reaction, like, in a few words, how do you feel coming out of it?
Pretty indifferent. Like I guess my attitude really hasn't changed, but just because I didn't really go into it really hyped up, you know. I wasn't really. Some people I think were saying like, "Oh, Nintendo really needs to do something to counter Sony's presentation of games that are never coming out," and including the release next year of a game that was supposed to come out 5 years ago.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. Sony's presentation wasn't really for me. I liked a couple of things in there. Horizon looks good, but other than that, like, Final Fantasy VII is not my childhood, someone else's childhood, and that's fine. But I was not super impressed by what I've seen done by other companies. Microsoft's event I liked a little bit more than I expected. I thought it was more varied and colorful than I expected, but I'm still not rushing out to buy an Xbox One. And Nintendo's, I mean, like, you heard me, or more specifically, more correctly, you did not hear me when we were hyping up E3 last week. And that's not because I edited myself out, it's because I literally, I don't know.
You weren't here for one of them. That helped.
What do you mean?
For the prediction show, you weren't here for that.
Yeah, no, that's true. But last episode, like, when we brought in Neil and we were talking about, like, oh, what can we expect from the website and, you know, stuff like that, I just did not speak because I guess I'm I don't really care that much about E3 in general.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's I'm more of a now gamer, I guess. Like, I
gotcha.
Even before doing the podcast and stuff, I seldom looked at previews, and I only started in the last 3-4 years watching the conference that was happening. I'm not even sure if the previous ones were, you know, televised, so to speak, but yeah, like, I would catch up on the news later. Like, it's not a life-changing event for me. Like, the games hit when they're actually released, and when they're announced, it's just marketing, right?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this especially is marketing in its purest form.
Yeah, so, you know, on the one hand, I understand people who do get hyped up for stuff, and I do understand the disappointment that there was no Megaton. Some people were hoping for one. There was absolutely nothing like that. But at the same time, you know, just maybe play something else. There's a Splatoon right now. It's pretty fun. You can play against me, and
You'll destroy them.
Apparently, although people are getting really good. Either I'm getting matched up with better people, or all the noobs have left, or just people are improving in general. But yeah, like, I don't know, like, Nintendo has a pretty good slate for this year, in my opinion, for a company that has no third parties.
Yeah.
You know, it's about as good as we can expect, you know. I'm looking forward to Yoshi still. Yoshi's Epic Yarn. I can't be bothered to actually learn its name.
Epic Yarn.
Yeah.
Woolly World.
Woolly World.
It's two words. They both start with W.
Yeah. So Yoshi's Woolly World. Still excited for that, although I just played Yoshi's New Island, and that kind of lowered my expectations a bit, even though it's a different studio. Like, I'm fully aware that the problems that are in Yoshi's Island... Yoshi's New Island are probably unique to that game because of former R2, now Artek.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, those people, they make a very specific kind of platformer, and it doesn't really jive with what I like about Yoshi's Island. So I have much more faith and good feel because... You know, Epic Yarn was pretty good, and Wario Land on the Wii was fantastic, so I'm still looking forward to that. And all the stuff that they showed with Amiibo and stuff, it doesn't seem to affect the game too much, so I'm pretty pleased about that too. Like the whole, okay, tap an Amiibo and you get a costume. Like, it doesn't affect gameplay as far as I could see. And that I like that. It's non-intrusive, so it means that I don't have to bother with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a legitimate way to look at it, that ultimately the Amiibo's there, but it doesn't really matter to you, and what they're doing doesn't really seem to have a huge impact, so it not being, or you not accessing it isn't a big deal.
Yeah, and same thing with Mario Maker. They showed that there's the Amiibo functionality, and it's basically the same thing. They showed it with a Wii Fit Trainer, which is kind of cruel, because you know, three people, including Iwata, apparently has that Amiibo, but... no, it looks cool, but again, it's not something that you need, and Super Mario Maker seems to be pretty feature complete. You know, like, we keep getting new details as the Treehouse events are happening. We just learned that the levels that they showed during the Nintendo World Championship, which did a really good job at hyping up that game.
It really did.
It really did. It was awesome to watch. Like, you know, like, so those levels are in there, and... yeah, in a way, like, the Nintendo World Championships did a better job showing kind of the value of Super Mario Maker than the today's presentation did. Because it was just like everyone was discovering this game at the same time. And I think a big part of the appeal of Super Mario Maker, if we're lucky, if people actually make good levels, a big part of the appeal is going to be, like, you never know what to expect when you start a level. And hopefully it's, you know, a kind of surprise that delights, and that, I don't know, that, you know, it's not, hopefully it's not just like someone being like, okay, just, you know, press forward and you win the level and stuff like that. And please give me yes on Miiverse, you know. We'll see. You know, like, it really depends. It's going to depend on the community, right?
But absolutely.
They showed some really cool stuff. Like, I did not expect different types of hats. You know, for Mario, for, you know, like, they're doing so much stuff. I don't even know what to mention. But yeah, like, they've had booze hidden in question mark blocks, and they've had stiletto boots. It doesn't even make sense. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to talk about this game, and I feel like I'm crazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is an insane game.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah, let's resume it to that. Yep. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to Super Mario Maker. Yeah, but anyway, going back to the presentation, to the Nintendo Direct thing, they started out with Muppets, which is, you know, cool. And then, Star Fox, which I'm looking forward to. There are some concerns on the internet, and apparently justified, because apparently in the demo you control the R-Wing with both control sticks and with motion control, and it seems like none of that is optional, at least in the demo. It remains to be seen if the motion controls are optional in the full game, and if it's really, you know, that much like rubbing your belly and patting yourself on the head, like, the, you know, if it's that complicated to control. But I don't know. I've got faith that they can make a more technical Star Fox game than we're used to, and still make it fun and kind of accessible.
Does the inclusion of well, I mean, really, how they describe Platinum's involvement isn't necessarily all gameplay mechanics. Some of it appears to be artistic and design stuff. But does the inclusion of, you know, well-regarded Nintendo producers alongside, you know, Platinum, who's mm-hmm. known for this stuff, does that make you feel more confident about this?
Well, I took to Bayonetta more than I thought I would. And I don't know. I don't know what it means, you know? Like, I'm a fan of the developer, formerly known as Clover, you know, from playing Beautiful Joe. So I know they can make character action games. This type of game, it's something that's new to them, right? Like, they right. haven't done anything like Star Fox before, but it looks like at least they can nail the score attack part of it, right? Like,
yeah.
you can kind of expect them to figure out a way to make, I don't know, like, I suppose there's going to be combos, I suppose there's going to be, like score chasing elements to it that are probably going to be done well. So no, I'm looking forward to it. And people have been complaining about the graphics. I don't know if I don't think that the N64 Star Fox was a stunner, you know, and perhaps the more graphically impressive Star Fox games have been the worst ones, you know, not to name Rare's attempt, but yeah, so I don't really mind. And some details that have come up is that basically the game is being rendered on two screens, on your TV and the gamepad, so that's pretty intensive, right, in terms of resources. And also both of the displays are at 60 frames per second. So in its own way, it's a technical achievement. So I, for those who care about that, for those who find technical achievements really, really important, then they should be satisfied. but yeah, the game looks cool. I like the transformations. The kind of gyro-looking kind of transformation looks really cool. It looks like a more... It's going to be less fast-paced, but it looks like maybe we're going to be... I think it's going to be beneficial to us to maybe take it slow at some parts if the game is really as technical as people say it is, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like I think that the trailers and the conference itself, the game looked okay. It looked like a Star Fox game. But the Treehouse stuff, they showed more of the vehicle stuff, and that really hyped me up a little bit more. And you know, I gotta say, like last year they did not have a Star Fox game. You know, like they showed Miyamoto basically playing a demo, and they were shopping it around to get a developer. Like this was made in a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, assuming that the mechanics were done, let's say 2 years at most.
Right. So this is impressive as hell. Like this is an incredibly quick turnaround. So I really can't. I don't know. Like I'm impressed. I did not expect the game to look as good and as complete as it does. And once it's finally released, then I guess we'll be able to judge the whole thing. But even if it turns out to be a short game, like it shouldn't be a flaw for a Star Fox game to be short. Like the important part is that it controls well, that it's fun, and that you want to keep improving your score and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Does the lack of multiplayer bother you?
I did not have that experience of playing the N64 Remake with many other people, and Star Fox would not have been the go-to multiplayer game if we had had anyway. Like
the 3DS Remake though has local video chat.
Right. Yeah, I'm very disappointed that this one doesn't have local video.
How am I going to see your face when you're standing next to me?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. What else was there at this conference?
Well, there's a certain Mario RPG that I think you may be interested in.
Yeah, probably. I'll play it. Like, unless there are reports that it's as kind of hand-holdy and talkative and kind of boring in terms of dialogue as Dream Team was.
This would be Mario and Luigi Paper Jam.
Right, Paper Jam. I think just the title justifies the game's existence, to be honest.
It's a good title.
It is. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I'm not like squealing with excitement. I rarely am, but you know, like it looks like another solid Mario RPG. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought you'd appreciate the mashup of the Paper Mario and the Mario and Luigi games. They just said, we just make both at the same time. I don't care.
Yeah, sure. No, they had some cute touches. You had Mario grabbing, like during battles or during some sort of chase sequence, Paper Mario that had formed into a paper plane. Like it's cute. But it's kind of expected from these series for now. By now.
Yeah.
So nothing too surprising, and a couple of things that we had seen before. But yeah, like you mash them up together, you can have a lot of fun with that idea. So I'll probably play it.
Yeah, I like when they introduced Bowser in the trailer, and it was regular Bowser just laying into Paper Bowser as being like a cheap copy.
Yeah, yeah. Bowser's Inside Story was a solid game, and I think that we can expect a little more or of that kind of fun.
More of a return to form.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about Triforce Heroes?
I'm going to play it. Like, that's one of the things that I think was cool for me personally. The number of co-op games. I'm going to be playing these with Karen. So Yoshi, we knew it was co-op, but like we saw some more of that. Triforce Heroes is also pretty damn good. Wait, is that the...
Triforce Heroes is the...
Not Hyrule Warriors, right?
No, that's... Okay. This is the three-player game.
Yeah, the three-player four swords, yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little bit skeptical of what they've shown because you watch the trailer and they talk about, like, oh, explore dungeons with two other people. And that's all they mention, dungeons. So I'm...
I can see your concern.
Yeah, so it kind of sounded like maybe there's no overworld. Like, we know there's some sort of town. They talk about it. Apparently, that's where you go to dress up and look fabulous. That weird kind of focus on fashion, which... I don't know. Nintendo's weird.
It's the Final Fantasy X-2 game of the Zelda franchise.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, that's kind of cool, I guess. But, yeah, like, I do hope it's not just like dungeon after dungeon after dungeon, but even if it is, I'm probably gonna pre-order two copies. You know.
Yeah, I will say that this is looking at site metrics. It's one of the articles that's gotten the most hits on the site, the most comments, the most feedback. I think it's of the things they announced, it's probably one of the most mysterious and unexpected. Because right. I mean, after the leak of the first Zelda 3DS game, if you had told me they had another one lined up, I'd have gone, wait, what? What? Why?
Right.
To what ends? And sure enough, they did.
Yeah, well, I actually like Link Between Worlds. It doesn't look like it's a sequel to that, right? It doesn't look like it's a Link to the Past 3.
I mean, it does not. It is visually very similar, obviously.
Yeah, it's the same engine or, you know, a modified engine of that. But no, entirely focused on co-op. In the presentation, they actually went and said that it's not as competitive as Four Swords. There's not that being a dick to other people element, which some people might miss, but maybe for an online game, it's going to be a blessing. I don't know. Yeah. Or some people maybe just did not like the whole competition aspect of it. So, and it looks like maybe there's going to be more collaboration needed in this one. Like, everyone's going to have a different type of costume, so it looks like people are going to have specific abilities that the other two people don't have.
Right. They have to work together to solve the problem.
Right. So it should be interesting. It should be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, maybe they mentioned that your playthrough of the game could be different depending on the outfit that you're wearing. So it sounds like maybe some puzzles are going to be solved either different ways or are going to be unsolvable unless you have the right ability. So maybe these dungeons are going to be more expensive than we think. Maybe there's going to be areas that you can't explore until you've got a specific costume. But I'm just, you know, that's...
Right.
I'm kind of imagining this right now.
Yeah, I was kind of looking when they said that as dungeons are essentially stand-in for your standard Zelda items.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, there was a moment in the trailer where there was one Link dressed as Link, one dressed as a samurai, and another one in a dress, and one of them was doing cheerleading emoticons, so I don't know.
Right. There was a lot of cheerleading. Yeah.
This is a weird game.
Yeah, but it's cute. I'm going to play it. So that's the second co-op game. The third co-op game that caught my eye, and it's one that's much maligned right now on the internet. Lots of bitter, bitter tears.
Yes.
Metroid, what's it? Federation.
Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Federation Force, a game that I predicted basically 2 years ago.
Did you really?
If you recall,
I don't obviously, but continue.
There was something I posted on Twitter, but so it's out there. It's in one of the podcasts.
Oh my
god! I had said that Retro Studios. So I had the studio wrong. Would be working on a squad-based shooter that would basically involve the Federation forces. You know, a based on Metroid, but not Metroid game. In my mind, it was a much more quote-unquote serious game. You know, it was much more of a... It would have been... In my mind, it was basically Star Wars Battlefront. You know? But you know, with the Metroid franchise, so this kind of cartoony looking soccer mini game kind of thing that they showed was not what I envisioned. But still, like the whole multiplayer squad based federation thing, surprisingly close.
Yeah. Yes, I'll give you that one. I've got a lot of questions about that game. They didn't show a whole lot of it.
Yeah, well, they had the Treehouse people play it.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Is it informative?
Yeah. Although they're super annoying while playing it. You know, Good. You've got the one guy who's louder than everyone else, and he seems to speak in caps lock.
And, oh, it's this just, show.
Yeah, and he's just you know, giving commands and what are you doing? Why are you shooting there? Why aren't you? You know. So, kind of annoying, and I think he makes a good case for lack of voice chat, but I'm trying to see the silver lining here. Someone on Twitter said that, oh wow, like you're the biggest Nintendo apologist that I've ever seen. Some people make lemonade out of lemons, but you just give yourself paper cut and rub the lemons on it. I thought that was pretty nice. That was a pretty nice dig.
And, that's solid.
Yeah, but you know, I guess I don't have this. I don't care as much about the voice chat. But so yeah, no, the game looks cool. Some people have been saying, oh, it kind of looks like a little bit Monster Hunter-y, you know, just because you're trying to get these creatures to. I'm not even sure what you're trying to do. It seemed like you were trying to push them away or push them into some sort of basically the soccer goal that Blast Ball has. So I was not paying attention enough to actually know what they were doing, but they were definitely trying to herd this creature around, and so it could be, you know, a little bit Monster Hunter-y, except maybe without the grinding aspect, or not grinding, but you know, like the kind of a take its bones to make weapons out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
So it could be good. I doubt that Karen is going to want to play it.
Well, it's online, so you and Johnny can play it.
Right. And apparently, maybe not John. I don't know. I guess the segment is after John's, right? It hasn't been recorded yet. But...
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we want to.
Okay.
I'll just say for those wondering what we're talking about. So I was talking to John during the show, and then John sent out an email. He's super salty right now. You may have already heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That segment may not even get recorded because I may just be trying to avoid it. I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
Well, like, his feeling echoes the feeling of a lot of people. Basically, either they're saying, well, I wanted Metroid Prime, and this is not Metroid Prime. Or they're saying, well, okay, this looks good, actually. You know, after watching the Treehouse, some people were conceding, okay, this doesn't look like a bad game, but why does it have to be called Metroid? Because it has nothing to do with Metroid. And the answer is, well, because people know Metroid. Like, it's I know that... The Metroid franchise doesn't have the cachet, really, to sell to a lot of casual gamers or a lot of people who are not already Metroid fans, but it does, you know, it is a known IP, like it is a known franchise, so, yeah, it stands a better chance out there than Blast Ball, you know?
Yes, exactly, or Federation Forces.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is a situation. Miyamoto did an interview today, or it came out today, where he said that one of the things Nintendo is trying to do is they're trying to prevent, you know, a 3-year cycle where a fan of a franchise doesn't get to experience a world in that franchise. And one of the ways they're doing that is they're embracing the development of the spin-off titles based in universe. Now, if you're a friend of a fan of Animal Crossing, you may not get 3 weeks without getting to play an Animal Crossing game, but. It just happens that, unfortunately for Metroid, I mean, they're trying to avoid the problem that Metroid fans are really upset about right now, which is it's been 5 years since a Metroid game came out, and that was Other M.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make sure you have a Metroid game that you can play. And, you know, maybe it's not your most ideal Metroid, but maybe they give you something you didn't know you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, because of the timing, because the first Metroid game to come out in 5 years is this one. And it's not what people wanted. And there was some I would say, unhealthy expectation that this was the year for Metroid.
Yeah,
it came back to get him.
Yeah, I don't know. I have some faith in Next Level Games.
Yeah,
they're making this game. I think they're a better developer in general than NST is. NST handled Metroid Prime Hunters, which was the last time that, you know, someone else outside of Retro Studios and well, Nintendo handled the Metroid franchise. And yeah, I think that, you know, Federation Forces has kind of a little bit of that look, Metroid Prime Hunters, you know, like it does look like an offshoot. It does look like an off-brand, basically, Metroid Prime. So that's not in its favor. But Next Level has handled Luigi's Mansion really well. They know a thing or two about sports games with their Mario Striker games. So I'm sure Blast Ball is going to be a fun little mini game. But yeah, I think that the core experience, the kind of the Monster Hunter-y part of it, is going to be interesting and could be a lot of fun. So I'm willing to give them a chance. And also, I was not expecting Metroid Prime at this E3, so maybe that helps. Like, I was not counting on even seeing what Retro Studios was working on, so it helps to have no expectations.
There you go. If you go in expecting nothing, you can't be disappointed.
Yeah. What else? Like, we don't have to talk about Animal Crossing, right? Like, it's...
No, we don't have to. I mean, it's come up. I mean, yeah. we've talked about it. It is what it is. It's Animal Crossing and Amiibo. Done. We're out. We out.
Right. Yeah. I'm hoping that buying the Animal Crossing Amiibos gives you the Chutes and Ladder game that they showed, because that's really what it looks like, right? Like,
it does.
It doesn't look like Mario Party. It looks like Candyland, so that's a little bit disappointing. What else? I did not understand what I saw of Shin Megami Tensei Crossfire
it's
Emblem.
It's fine. You weren't born in Japan, so you're not expected to understand that trailer.
Yeah, so the whole pup idol kind of thing is not
my
wheelhouse, but I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm probably going to pre-order it.
The pedigree on that game is really good, but oh my god, that trailer is Japanese as hell.
Yeah.
Like it is so Japanese that I was uncomfortable watching it.
On the other hand, Yo-Kai Watch is coming. I'm not interested in Pokemon-y kind of game design, so I'm it's very unlikely that
Did you watch the Treehouse for that one?
No.
It was very informative, actually. I would say give it a go. The game looks very nice. Mm-hmm. They presented it very well. I don't know that it's going to put it into your wheelhouse, but I mean, it looks well made.
Sure. Like I'll watch it. Worst case scenario,
you waste 10 minutes.
I'm still not interested. Yeah.
You waste 10 minutes, whatever.
Skylanders, no.
I do want to say, because it has actually, I don't think it's come up on any, it might have come up during the news report. Nintendo has managed to make Amiibo Skylanders, which is really just a sign of the end times.
Yeah, and I saw somewhere that Nintendo is not calling it Amiibo in their press release.
No.
So they're Skylanders.
They're Skylanders.
Or are they?
I mean, they do both. I don't...
Just tune in to, like, Neil Runahan's Twitter feed or something. I'm sure he'll explain to us. Like, he'll get to the bottom of this.
This really is a ground zero product for bankrupting Neil Runahan, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Hey, this Bowser is $175,000. Neil, you better mortgage everything.
Yeah, I think we kind of went around the show. There's maybe one or two trailers that they showed, Fatal Frame is coming out.
Which they didn't even talk about yet today.
No, but there is a trailer in the eShop. I watched it. It looks like Fatal Frame.
It looks cool.
Yeah, it's probably not my thing, but we'll see. And very quickly, I just want to mention, I downloaded the 9 Nindies at Home demos. So I don't know if you talked about that yet.
A little bit, but we hadn't had a chance to play them yet.
Right, so they're... I guess in order of what I found really good and interesting, the Tokitori 2 developers have reused that engine to create a shooter, and it actually works. You know, like, you would not expect that, because Tokitori 2 has two, like, you have two actions in it, stomp and sing, and it's a puzzle game. In this case, they decided to make this kind of shoot 'em up, except that you, like, in the first part of the demo, you're flying around and you've got, like, kind of twin stick shooting action. In the second part, you still have twin stick stuff, but you're actually grounded, like, you're platforming and shooting and stuff. And you've got this hacking function. So the way they showed that off was, so you shoot stuff and eventually you get a hacking thing and you hack the heal bot, and it heals your ship. So it follows you around until it dies, so don't get too attached. Eventually you fight a boss, and the boss has a heal bot healing it, so you hack it, and then you turn it to your advantage, and then you can take down the boss. And they ended up with a second type of unit that you can hack, and that thing basically allows you to fly over a level. You kind of hitch a ride on it, and then you can reach new areas. So it looks like an interesting game. Like, I still don't know if it's going to be a continuous world like Tokitori 2. I'm assuming maybe that's what they're going for. Like, maybe there's going to be not Metroid elements, but, you know, an interconnected world that you can explore.
An eternal shooter.
Yeah.
You just shoot forever.
Yeah, maybe. No, I am sure it's going to be like a tightly designed, like, campaign where, I don't know.
Yeah.
But cool. The demo was cool, so check that out. Another interesting one was Runbow. Even two players, it was kind of crazy, but you can play up to 9 players.
Shh.
And it has online functionality. The final game is going to be online, so that's good news.
That's super cool.
It's these short platforming challenges, and the screen, some platforms are a certain color, and a screen is flipping through colors constantly. And when, you know, the background is red and the platform you're on is red, well, you're not standing on the platform anymore. You're just standing on a red background. So the platform disappears, you know, you fall. So you have to be, you know, on your toes. You have to pay attention to what's going on. And when you've got 8 other players kind of punching you and jumping around and running, that can be hard to do. So it looks like a crazy, hectic game, and I'm looking forward to playing the full thing. And the other one that I wanted to mention that some people might not download because the title is stupid is Extreme Exorcism.
That is a stupid title, yes.
It is, but what it is seems to be kind of a mix between, okay, some indie title, I don't know, like what's it called? Super Time Force?
Yes.
Where you're... you control basically a character until it dies, and then you can go back in time, control a different character, and
right. They stack
fight
up
alongside.
Each other. Yeah.
It's basically that same thing, but coupled with Towerfall, maybe, where you've got like this one screen challenge. And so you've got these ghosts and demons that you have to take out. So it starts out very... you know, like, just like, okay, one ghost, so you shoot it, you grab a weapon, you shoot it, and then you start over again, but now you've got a new ghost and that previous ghost, and the new ghost is now kind of following the pattern that you did when you were playing the first time, and it's wielding your weapon that you were using, and it's trying to kill you with it. So you have to... I don't know, like, as you go, like, replay over replay over replay, there is more stuff going on, more of old use of your old playthroughs trying to kill you. And so it gets chaotic very fast. And if you've got 4 players playing, then it gets chaotic 4 times as fast. So do give that a shot. Like, it's really cool.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. Right now, nothing really springs to mind. Like, there was Mutant Muds. It's Mutant Muds. You already know if you like it or not.
It is a harder Mutant Muds.
Yeah. And there was some stuff that probably wasn't ready. Probably should have not been shown. Like, what's it called? Soul something. And
yeah.
It's got huge frame rate problems. And so it does not make a good first impression. So those guys probably should have been like, you know what, we're going to hold off, maybe release a better demo at some other point in time.
Sure, but you got to get in when the getting's good, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, I guess if Nintendo is going to give you this opportunity, you take it, right?
Right. You just say, hey, this is demo, just so you know, everybody.
Right. Yeah, all nine of the demos say that this demo does not reflect the full game experience or something. I would have thought that I would know by heart exactly what it said after reading it nine times. But anyway, like, I'm paraphrasing, but that got old kind of
fast. Standard disclaimer.
Yeah.
That.
And Typo Man. That deserves a mention. Do give it a shot. It's this 2D platformer with a unique art style. This puzzle platformer. But it's I don't think I've ever seen that done before. It's this little guy made out of typography characters.
Yep.
So you've got these letters in these worlds, and you can kind of pick up a letter and throw it around and maybe form new words with it. So that's how you solve puzzles. Like, you've got one puzzle where you've got this unpassable body of water, and you can't jump over it, it's too far, and it's raining in it, and you've got these swinging vines, and so you have to grab to the vines, and at the end of one of the vines is a D, and if you can bring the D close enough to rain, you get drain.
Get the D.
Yep. So the body of water drains, and that's how you can cross. So
that's clever.
Kind of.
Does it actually play? Is it actually kind of fun to play?
I find the controls a little bit stiff, but the idea is good enough, and the art style is pleasant enough that I'm probably going to get the full game. I want to see what else they did.
It's not a little too Sesame Street.
Well, yeah, maybe, but there is. I don't know. I think that they could come up with some devious puzzles, and I'm hoping that, well, yeah, like, I'm sure that the full game is going to go further than what they showed in the demo. So.
Rain, drain, yeah, right. You got to do a little bit more than that.
Right. There was there was another cute one where, what was it? You have a sign that says use, and then further up you have part, and so. You know, you're kind of like, okay, use part, but I'm not sure, like, what exactly is going on. You get close to the word part, and it just snaps shut on you, and, you know, it kind of reverses itself and turns into the word trap as it does so.
Huh.
But eventually, like, get killed by the trap enough times, and the S of use drops from the sign, and so you can push that up to close enough to part, so that when you activate the trap, then it becomes a strap, and then it becomes strapped. So you've basically tied up the mouse trap, and now you can cross freely. It's just, I don't know. Like, it looks like the couple of ideas that they've shown shows a lot of promise. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's clever.
But yeah, that's basically. My E3 experience so far. I'm planning on watching more of the Treehouse stuff. It looks like, you know, they really go more in depth about into like what the games actually are about, what they play like. I'm probably gonna avoid the Animal Crossing stuff because I don't care how deep that experience goes.
You can put the chair there. You can put it there. You can put it there. You can also put it there.
Yeah, and you can swipe this amiibo card and get a different type of chair.
I'm all in now.
It's, you know, Nintendo had a quiet E3.
Yeah.
Probably had to be expected because it seems like all their big teams are not showing games this year. I'm assuming that Mario and Luigi is developed by Alpha Dream.
It is.
Star Fox is by a second party, or third party, rather. You've got, Fatal Frame is...
Frame has been done for, like, a year and a half.
Right.
It's been out in Japan forever.
Yeah. It seems like maybe they're hard at work at making NX games, and In the meantime, I hope you like Splatoon, and I hope you like some of the games that they're going to be releasing over the year, because it looks like that's what we're going to be playing.
Hey, and there's new Splatoon guns tonight.
Right, there's new DLC for Smash Brothers. Maybe get tired of that and then I don't know, contemplate how barren the Wii U release schedule is.
Mourn the nothingness of existence.
But as I said, I'm a now gamer. Like, the future games you can't play, right? They're not released yet, so maybe don't worry so much.
I mean, technically speaking, you play future games on those demos.
Right. Yeah, the future is now.
I've just completely unwound Guillaume's worldview.
But yeah, so I'm gonna keep playing games, and I'm gonna be nothing earth shattering. But what are you gonna do, yep. Right?
All right, thank you, Guillaume.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to having you on, and we've got more E3 coverage on NintendoWorldReport.com. We're gonna have videos going up of us actually getting to play games and actually see these games in motion. We're gonna have more impressions starting to show up in the very near future. We've already got impressions up of Star Fox, if you want to know how that plays. And we've got video of the whole demo, where you can see both the gamepad screen and the actual screen, the primary television monitor. You can actually see what it means when they say that you control with the sticks, the gyro sensor, and two screens.
Wow.
The answer is, it's confusing. But hopefully, with the addition of some finely worded impressions from our staff, it'll all make a lot more sense.
I'm planning on building my own papier-mâché R-Wing cockpit to play the games as they're being experienced at E3.
I think it should come with it. I think that cockpit should be an amiibo, and you have to dock it on the game pad. You just pick it up and put it down every time, but that's okay. And it should just be about 300 pounds. Just tape it to the outside of the box, and you know, I'll pay $37,000 for Star Fox. We're good to go.
Yeah, or just make it come with kind of an unfoldable cardboard R-Wing thing. And, you just require minimal assembly. Like, I don't know, ask your parents to use the scissors. And
safety scissors only.
Yep.
Awesome. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Stay tuned. We will have more podcasts. We'll be starting to discuss some games in depth. Specifically, going forward from tomorrow, alongside the impressions and previews and videos we're going to be putting up on the website at NintendoWorldReport.com.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.